A president suspending habeas corpus, doing away with the Posse Comitatus Act.
It's the Tom Hartman Program.
Doing away with the Fourth Amendment protections of privacy in your own home, Fifth Amendment right to not incriminate yourself, Sixth Amendment right to a speedy trial, Seventh Amendment right to make bail. I would have said, no, it's not possible. And now it's all happened.
Tom Hartman, weekday mornings 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bob Bussell on Capitol Hill, where the Senate Armed Services Committee has voted unanimously to recommend confirmation of Robert Gates to be the new Secretary of Defense. Republican Committee Chairman John Warner said Gates will be a strong, independent defense secretary.
In his heart is only the best interest of this country and the men and women of the armed forces.
During a full-day hearing, Gates told senators his first job will be urgently finding a way to change tactics in Iraq, in a war he said bluntly the U.S. is not winning.
In my view, all options are on the table in terms of how we address this problem in Iraq.
Some of those options will be laid out tomorrow in a report of the bipartisan Iraq study group, and CBS News White House correspondent Mark Noller has more on that.
At lunch with former Secretary of State James Baker, President Bush got a preview of the Iraq study group recommendations. Spokesman Tony Snow says President Bush will read and study them, but we shouldn't have unrealistic expectations about them.
I think anybody who expects, as Bob Gates said today, a magic bullet out of the Hamilton-Baker Commission is probably placing an unfair burden on them.
All 10 members of the panel are due at the White House at 7 in the morning to formally present their report and ideas for making more rapid progress in Iraq. Mark Noller, CBS News, the White House.
I'm Harley Carnes in New York. Indications are not good from the search for a missing father in rugged terrain in Oregon's southwest coastal region. Officials say a pair of pants, just pants, have been found. No sign of James Kim, who struck out on foot on Saturday, hoping to help find his 9 days stranded family. They, in the meantime, were rescued and are in good shape. An Alabama woman, Shalinda Glass of Rainbow City, Alabama, told police her son, Jonte, was asleep in the car when it was stolen. Police say now it was a lie, a hoax designed to cover up the boy's murder.
She is going to be charged, the mother, with hindering the prosecution since she did not, we believe, take part in the actual homicide. Now, her boyfriend, Mr. Tolles, will be charged with capital murder.
Etowah County Sheriff James Hayes. Now that New York City has banned trans fat in restaurant foods, how are the Big Apple's famous and not-so-famous chefs going to make the food taste good?
This is going to be a challenge for restaurant owners because it'll require them to do a tremendous amount of work to reformulate some of their recipes, look for alternative ingredients, and they have no choice but to pass that cost on to the consumer.
Mark Erickson at the Culinary Institute. In Anderson, South Carolina, police say David Allen Rogers was driving a truck in the Christmas parade, pulling a float. Suddenly, he pulled out a line with kids and adults holding on for dear life on the back of the float and passed the slow tractor in front of him, turned and sped down Main Street, ran a red light while running from the cops. Cops threw the book at him. They even charged him with kidnapping. On Wall Street, the Dow gained nearly 48 points. NASDAQ picked up about 4. Oil prices down a penny at $62.43 a barrel. This is CBS News.
Today's guest stylist is Laura. She's going to Kohl's Half Price Sale, which is this Wednesday only. Laura, tell us what to look for.
I'm in love with these furry knits. Check out the sweaters in super flattering colors, then head straight over to hats with matching scarves and mittens. Awesome gift, but you'll want a set too. This is the season to add texture everywhere, even to your sofa. Wait till you feel these super plush throw pillows.
You'll want to go all out at Kohl's Half Price Sale this Wednesday only, from 7 a.m. to midnight. Kohl's, expect great things.
Tiger Balm presents football superstar Jerry Rice.
Foxtrot. I can't believe I'm dancing with Jerry Rice.
I can't believe dancing is as hard as playing wide receiver.
Tango.
I'm sorry.
You okay?
Yeah. How do you manage all the aches and pain?
Tiger Balm.
Really?
Tiger Balm works fast and lasts a long time.
Samba.
Whoa. Oh, sorry. I'm such a klutz.
Maybe we should stop.
No, just get me some Tiger Balm.
You sure?
Just get me the Tiger Balm.
If you suffer from aches and pains, go for the balm. Tiger Balm. Now in a convenient, easy-to-apply patch. At drugstores, mass discount stores, supermarkets, and health food stores everywhere.
Rocky memorabilia has been donated to the Smithsonian. The celluloid boxer has become part of American lore and one of the most successful movie serials ever, the sixth installment of which opens later this month.
Rocky's infamous
Bubba's red, white, and blue boxing shorts, his signature black hat, and boxing gloves are some of the objects that will be on display. Sylvester Stallone donated the goods. The six-year-old actor says he is touched.
I'm really unbelievably overwhelmed.
And yes, he was asked to say that famous line.
Yo, Adrian, how you doing?
Darcy Marchese for CBS News, Washington.
A dress code for an apartment complex seems a foreign notion till you hear the reason maybe. In New Brighton, Minnesota, Timbercrest Apartments has banned baggy pants, bandanas, and baseball caps worn sideways in any public area. It's a way to chase the street gangs by denying them their uniform. Most people in the complex seem to go for it. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
New Michelin tires on sale from Sears, along with family, friends, and rum balls. Something to be thankful for. With new tires, you can drive to the store to buy the forgotten can of cranberry and the extra batteries. You can go to find the last-minute gift for that last-minute nephew who shows up late with his roommate. With Michelin tires, the holidays just seem brighter.
Get the lowest price of the year on Michelin tires, only at Sears Auto Center. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Sale ends 12/24/06.
I hear you got a new car.
Yeah, I got it for a good price.
What kind is it?
Dunno.
What color?
No idea.
Four-door or two-door?
Haven't a clue. But hey, I got it for a good price.
Buying a car on price alone doesn't make much sense, so why buy car insurance that way? At Progressive Direct, we provide rates from other top companies plus 20 facts and figures, so you can compare on more than just price. Visit Progressive.com or call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Progressive Direct Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Available in most states and situations.
Welcome to today's edition of the Peter B. Collins Show, live, unscripted, unrehearsed, originating in San Francisco on the Left Coast, the home of those dreaded San Francisco values. On our program today, we're going to focus, not exclusively, but primarily, on the confirmation hearings that began this morning and may end today. It's a cakewalk through the lazy duck session of Congress for Robert Gates. The Senate committee has returned a unanimous, almost unanimous vote, 21-0. I guess a couple of people were missing. Ouch, he said. We will bring you informed commentary on these subjects and others related to the Bush administration and the war in Iraq. Up first today, P.J. Crowley from the Center for American Progress. He'll join us in a moment. Robert Parry, the investigative journalist who covered Robert Gates as part of his investigation of the Iran-Contra affair in the 1980s. He'll join us in about half an hour. Next hour, Medea Benjamin checks in from Code Pink for Peace and Global Exchange. And Jason Leopold from truthout.org. He's got a piece he wrote last week about the battle over pull-out versus pull-back. And with the Baker Commission report coming out tomorrow, it's timely. We'll also check in with Melanie Sloan at CREW, that's Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, talk about the recent documents they secured under the Freedom of Information Act, where somebody really went crazy with a Sharpie. It's called redaction. Extraordinary redaction in this case. That's all ahead, plus your phone calls. And I want to invite you to call from the start of the show and all the way through today, because your comments about the Gates hearing, about the posture of the Democrats, very important to me. And feel free to disagree with your humble host. It makes it more interesting. And, well, I can't always be right. You can call us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. You can also email me 24/7, peter@peterbcollins.com. Our first guest today is a senior fellow and director of National Defense and Homeland Security at the Center for American Progress. P.J. Crowley served during the Clinton administration, was in the Air Force for 26 years, retiring at the rank of colonel. P.J., welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Peter, is always a pleasure.
And it's good to talk with you again, sir. And thank you for rescheduling from Friday when some technical glitches prevented our conversation. But it's probably a little more poignant, if not pregnant, today.
It is.
Tell me your thoughts on the 21-0 recommendation from the committee for the confirmation of Robert Gates.
I'm not surprised. The Senate Armed Services Committee had a pretty difficult relationship with Donald Rumsfeld. Go figure. And from their perspective, I think that Robert Gates today was a pretty candid and honest alternative and refreshing from their standpoint. Once he said to the committee, "We're not winning." And the status quo is unacceptable, and something fundamental has to change. I think the committee got for today what it needed.
Well, I understand that, and I'm quite realistic, or at least I kid myself about that, PJ. I expected the nomination to come out with a majority, and I expect the Senate to easily confirm him. But, you know, Carl Levin, who voted against him in 1991, pardon me, in his a confirmation at that time for CIA director, really didn't even lay a glove on him or attempt to bruise him today. It was David Boren who pointed out that the 91 hearings lasted for 4 months, or at least over a four-month period, as they gathered more information on Mr. Gates. And this time they're going to do it in 1 day? I don't get it. I would like to see the Democrats be more active.
Well, I mean... The one of the problems is when you think about prospective secretaries of defense, there is not a deep bench within either party. This is a very demanding job, arguably one of the most demanding within the government.
Mm-hmm.
And there aren't a lot of people who are qualified to do it. Robert Gates happens to be one of them. I'm a little surprised that it was unanimous, and I think once you got through the first four senators and to an extent, Gates was candid and disarming in acknowledging the difficulty in Iraq. At that point, I think the nature of the hearing changed. A lot of people who thought they would need to be more combative were not. This is laying down some markers. The secretary, if he's confirmed the next couple of days, we'll have a couple of months before he returns to the Congress. At that point, he will have a chance to get his feet on the ground, had a chance to talk to the President of the United States, and then come back to see to say what, if anything, they're going to do about the recommendations of the Baker-Hamilton group. So I think today was kind of setting down some markers, and then these chips will be redeemed in February, March, and I think there you'll find that probably a different tone if by that time the president has not announced a fundamental change in our approach to Iraq.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll get to the markers, and there are some points, that I think Gates scored today, and I don't toss that aside cavalierly. But again, the history of Robert Gates, going back to the 1980s at the agency, was a man who played politics, who cozied up to Bill Casey and kissed his butt in order to advance his own career. He politicized intelligence about the Soviet Union. He politicized intelligence about Central America. He was at least aware of most of the activities that now comprise the Iran-Contra affair, which was a bicontinental blast against the Constitution at the time. And then he wasn't honest about that when he came before the Intelligence Committee in 1991. Those issues bear at least being put on the record. And, I would like to have seen the Democrats be more aggressive about it. Again, I didn't expect them to change the course here. And I also feel, and I'd like your comment on this, PJ, was there a Democratic strategy saying, give the president his wish? Give him this man because he's not Rumsfeld, and we are about to see a policy change. But, Gates is so connected to the old Bush One network that it's hard to believe that anything significant will change under his tenure.
Well, Peter, you raise a very good point. I think probably, the tone here was set because he is, in fact, the anti-Rumsfeld. And that is not inconsequential. And Robert Gates, one value he has as an intelligence guy is he's going to listen to advice, a broader range of advice than his predecessor did. Getting a new man at the Pentagon is important because, he can, as he said today, take a fresh look. Now he set a pretty high bar. He while he did have the caveat that There's only one president, and he's the decider, as we know, that Gates professed that he will be independent. And I think folks like Senator Levin will press that test if the president continues to resist this change, as he at least has in his rhetoric over the last week to 10 days.
Did anybody ask him if he'd be independent of Dick Cheney? After all, Cheney was defense secretary when he was heading the CIA.
I'm grateful that Donald Rumsfeld is gone, and I'm grateful that if Gates is coming from the old Bush school, which at least is a school of realism and some pragmatism, that is progress. Is it perfect? No. We were in this position, 4 years ago, a stronger voice, as with Colin Powell's, to say, this is not a good idea. but we're not in that place. We're here and at least to get the primary architect of a failed Iraq strategy out of the way so we can freshly assess where we are, make some fundamental changes, get our kids off the front lines, reduce the cost of the United States, reduce the friction on the rest of the world. This is Robert Gates' challenge. These are the expectations that both Republicans and Democrats on the Senate Armed Services Committee have in this man, and we'll just have to wait and see if he can fulfill that vision or not.
Mm-hmm. Well, I certainly understand the point, but the president took care of dispatching Rumsfeld, and the Democrats are in the ascendancy, and I realize, particularly in the Senate, it's a very narrow control, one-vote margin. However, the Democrats have promised greater accountability. I didn't see that kind of accountability today.
I'm not sure. I think there it is important that we have some kind of change of tone here. And this is a very idealistic statement, very wishful thinking. I hope it stays the case. A lot of what the indictment that you have on Robert Gates, is applicable to the decision by the Senate to ultimately confirm him as the director of Central Intelligence, in the Bush 1 administration. I don't know that it's as germane as, today in terms of where's the statute of limitations. He was a good, director of Central Intelligence. There are better, there are worse. Casey is a good case in point, but he served with distinction, and so you have to give the president some latitude. If a man like Gates is qualified, would he be the same person that a Democratic president would choose? Obviously, he'd choose someone else.
No, I understand that, and I understand
I just think there will be time to press Gates to see if he's going to, press the president and move the president in a new direction, move him off of, the stubborn position that he has enunciated as late as last week.
Mm-hmm.
His challenge.
PJ, he is one of the few individuals in my lifetime who was not confirmed in the 1980s when he was proposed first as CIA director.
You are right.
And that, to me, is something that bears being entered into the record today. Does it have to be a determining factor? Not necessarily. But it was glossed over today as an inconvenient truth. And that's where I think the Democrats really let me and the nation down. We got to take a break. We'll return in just a moment. We'll go to the phones, too. So join us at 888-5-PETER-B. Our guest is P.J. Crowley from the Center for American Progress, and you're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance. Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking about the confirmation hearing today in the Senate Armed Services Committee related to Robert Gates, proposed as the next defense secretary. P.J. Crowley is our guest right now. He's a senior fellow director of National Security and Homeland Security, National Defense and Homeland Security Issues at the Center for American Progress. And P.J., I'm working through it here. Let's talk a little bit about some of the positives that came out today. To Gates' credit, he did describe himself as independent. He did say that he is quite dubious about military action against Iran. He said that he concurs with the desire of senators to stop using supplemental emergency appropriations to pay for the war in Iraq. He said flatly he does not want to support a draft. And he indicated that he was sympathetic to the concerns about the Military Commissions Act and wants to see us in compliance with the Geneva Conventions and the Army Field Manual. Anything you would add to the positive column?
I think it was particularly significant that he said that he did not see military options with respect to Iran and Syria.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the decoupling of what Gates said today and presumably in the Baker-Hamilton report tomorrow, you'll have this concept of a regional conference, obviously with Iraq's agreement, but mm-hmm. one that would include Syria and Iran and try to build greater international cooperation, but also create avenues where we could change the current dynamic with respect to Syria and particularly with respect to Iran. So, mm-hmm. Again, that is addition by subtraction. You have a realistic voice within the president's cabinet, and you, again, have the subtraction of Rumsfeld, one of the hardliners who has been partially responsible, along with Cheney, for paralysis with respect to our policies on Iraq, on Iran and North Korea. So, mm-hmm. Again, I have high hopes for Gates, and we'll just have to see if he's able to, get the president to listen.
Mm-hmm. The elder, if not elderly, Senator Robert Byrd of West Virginia kind of stumbled through a question that I think caught Gates by surprise when he asked him what he's going to do to capture Osama bin Laden. And then later, I was listening on radio, and I didn't hear who the senator was who had a line of questioning about upping the ante in the bounty, the rewards that we've offered. I mean, it's only $25 million. And this senator, maybe you know who it was, said, well, what if we add $1 million a week to the reward? And Gates shot back, oh, the Powerball approach.
Well, the fact that bin Laden and al-Zawahiri exist in North Waziristan and are being protected by tribal elders is not necessarily about, financial remuneration. I don't know how much bin Laden has in his pocket, but it probably is not that much. And the solution is not necessarily a bounty, although, who knows, if it happens, great. But this is where, Pervez Musharraf is critical. And the distressing aspect about our current alliance with Pakistan is that he has seemingly made a deal, where tribal elders will prevent the infiltration of Taliban and other elements between Pakistan and Afghanistan in return for a withdrawal of Pakistani forces from these tribal areas. But that, in essence, creates a terrorist safe haven along the Pakistan-Afghan border, which is dangerous both to Afghanistan, it's also dangerous to the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Gates, that will be part of his responsibility. What are we doing? But in particular, what kind of pressure, support and pressure, carrots and sticks, are we applying to Pakistan, to both have them construct a better relationship with Afghanistan, not trying to undercut the new Afghan government, but also just to go after those elements within Pakistan that are part of the terrorist infrastructure, and they're not only a threat to us, but they're also, we are seeing, supporting some of the plots that exist in Europe and in particular in Britain.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the critical areas. We don't pay as much attention to it as we do Iraq, but Afghanistan has not been going well, and what's happening in Pakistan is one of the fundamental reasons why.
Yeah.
Gates is the kind of guy that will know that.
Jamie in Phoenix, join us here on the Peter B. Collins Show with P.J. Crowley.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hi.
I'm a liberal independent, and the Democrats are already pissing me off.
The liberal independent, a contradiction of terms.
I'm with you, Jamie. I'm very disappointed.
Why couldn't they have waited one more day to find out what Bush is going to flip them off about the Baker Commission? How could they even ask Gates anything about that?
Well, the timing is suspect to me because I don't see the rush. The Senate has decided to adjourn later this week, and honestly, I don't think it would be a big problem to hold this over till January. PJ?
Oh, I think I have to respectfully disagree with you, Peter. The Secretary of Defense is a critical position within the government, and I think that the Senate is right to confirm him quickly. Lay down some markers as they did, and then he'll come back in 60 days or so, and then they'll have a whole menu of items to ask him about in terms of to what extent he has gone ahead and convinced the president to implement some of the things that we'll see in the Baker-Hamilton report tomorrow.
And I respect your disagreement, and it's time for you to make a graceful exit, PJ. We'll talk again soon. Thank you very much.
All right, Peter. It's a pleasure.
P.J. Crowley at the Center for American Progress. We'll take more of your calls coming up next, and Robert Perry will join us.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Good day, sunshine.
Tonight,
stop searching. We've got what you're looking for. Sundays, 3 to 5, The Billy Sunshine Show with Pilar.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show, getting reaction to the Gates confirmation hearings. 21-0, the score out of the Armed Services Committee. Frankly, I think that's a disgrace.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight. I got the feeling there's something right. I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you. Yes, I'm stuck in the middle with you.
And I got guess for me, what really pains me is to hear Senator Bill Nelson, a Democrat from Florida, who served in the military, was also an astronaut, and he lays out this spiel about bipartisanship and how partisanship ends at the water's edge, meaning that in international issues and war and peace matters, we got to be nice guys. And it is the duty of Democrats to make nice to the Republicans who have only been partisan, only used divisive tactics, who only 3 weeks ago were referring to the Democrats as the cut-and-run party. And now Democrats who have narrow control of the Senate, a little greater control of the House, are kissing up to these Republicans. And this unanimous vote out of the committee just sends a very powerful message. And it's not a happy one. We turn to Robert Perry now. Bob Perry publishes at consortiumnews.com. He's the investigative reporter who helped break the news about the details of the Iran-Contra affair in the 1980s, working for Newsweek and the Associated Press and Frontline on PBS. And he was with us recently to describe some of the key reasons why Robert Gates should not be rubber-stamped through this lazy duck Congress. But it's happening right in front of us. And, Bob Perry, were you there at the hearing today?
No, but I listened to it.
And I was able to hear maybe about 2 hours this morning and snippets during the middle of the day. I did not hear one senator ask tough questions of Robert Gates about the 1980s. I heard Carl Levin late in the session set him up to dismiss the controversies of the 1980s and Robert Gates. But I didn't hear anybody grill him on, you know, what he said and how much of it was untrue when he testified before Congress in the 1980s and prior to his confirmation as CIA director in 91.
No, I think the Democrats decided that they were take a dive. They weren't going to pursue these this now documentary evidence that came out after his 91 confirmation hearings that suggested that he was lying. For instance, there was a 1995 affidavit from Howard Teicher, who was a member of Ronald Reagan's National Security Council staff, who under oath said that Gates had been involved in the scheme to arm Saddam Hussein in the 1980s, the so-called Iraqgate affair, which Gates has always denied being involved in. Even though this is a sworn affidavit, Howard Teicher was a person in a position to know. Gates has not been, was not questioned about it, was not challenged. There was evidence that has come out relating to his complete miscalculation about the problem in Central America. Back in 84, he sent a secret memo to William Casey saying that unless the United States bombed Nicaragua, there'd be a permanent Marxist-Leninist regime in the Americas. And the position was considered so extreme, it may have made Bill Casey happy because he kind of agreed with that stuff, but it was rejected by the Reagan administration. And as it turned out, of course, there were elections in 1990. The Sandinistas lost in Nicaragua and gave up power. So Gates has had this history, and now it's a long history of either being a closet ideologue, sort of a neoconservative ideologue who sort of soft-pedals his real views, at least in public, or he's sort of your classic apple polisher who always does what the people above him want.
Well, the neo-Puritans have cleaned up the language, but we can still say ass-kisser on the radio.
Well, I didn't say that, but I mean, I take your point. I mean, the history of Bob Gates, and he's a very disarming guy because he comes across in, with that very sort of a sweet voice and Boy Scout looks, and very was great. He's very self-deprecating and modest. I guess some people might compare him to Eddie Haskell from Leave It to Beaver in some ways. Yes, Mrs. Cleaver. But he appeals to people in that regard. But he has a history, and I've spent a lot of time talking to former CIA people who worked with him when he was in the agency. And he was the classic guy. He was very ambitious. The first day he got to CIA, he supposedly said that his goal was to become director. He managed to undermine some of his immediate superiors to ingratiate himself with his people above them. When he got a chance under Bill Casey, he politicized the CIA analytical division to give Casey and Ronald Reagan the intelligence they wanted on the Soviet Union, exaggerating the size and power and effectiveness of the Soviet Union to justify a major U.S. military buildup. It turned out he was wrong about that. The Soviet Union was heading toward collapse, as we now know.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty much what he did, both in terms of operations he was involved in, both the Iran and Iraq side of the Iran-Iraq war, where we were slipping arms to both sides, and in Central America, he turned out to be essentially off target. And in terms of his analytical operations, he was wrong there, too. So,
none of that is germane to his service in the future as defense secretary?
Well, Peter, my view about people when they get to be 63 years old, or for that matter, when they get to be 43 years old, is that what you've seen from them is likely what you're going to see from them.
Mm-hmm.
If they've got a pattern of success where they've behaved in a certain way, either that they are go along, get along kind of guys, or whether they're rebels or whatever they are, they usually tend to go back to that if it's worked for them. And there's really very little reason to think that Robert Gates has really turned a corner, changed. I think he remains a very ambitious man who was very good at concealing his ambition.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he was probably fairly dissatisfied being president of Texas A&M, even though I'm sure he liked the job in some ways. I'm sure he was itching to get back to a position of power in Washington. He'd gone from being CIA director, which he finally got to in 91 and 92, to being essentially out of power. He left when Clinton came in. Clinton didn't trust him, as a lot of people didn't trust him at that point. He then went off and wrote his memoirs for some years, and then years later got this job as president of Texas A&M. And I think he was pretty much itching to get back into the centers of power as much as he pretends that he wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And this was his chance. And ironically, what we now know is that part of the reason, it seems, that George Bush made the move was that Donald Rumsfeld was getting wobbly on the Iraq war. Rumsfeld, on November 6th, penned a memo, which I'm sure he had talked about earlier with people, saying there needed to be a major, real major change. And he even proposed something close to what John Murtha had been suggesting, of redeploying U.S. troops outside Iraq. So
yeah, here's the Rummy memo, and this is one of his, I believe, above-the-line proposals.
Right.
Withdraw U.S. forces from vulnerable positions, cities patrolling, etc., and move U.S. forces to a quick reaction force status operating from within Iraq and Kuwait. Over the horizon, that's how Murtha put it.
Right, so here you have George Bush, who was saying, right up to the point of the election, or very close to it, that he was determined to keep on Don Rumsfeld for the remainder 2 years of his presidency, suddenly shifting and seeking out Gates the weekend before the election and having this meeting. And Fred Barnes, not that I always trust Fred Barnes, but of the Weekly Standard, Barnes describes Bush and Gates having a long private meeting at the ranch in Texas, and that they kind of were on the same page with the whole idea of democratizing the Middle East and the whole neoconservative dream. And so then suddenly Bush reverses himself on Rumsfeld, demands his resignation on November 8th, gets it, and replaces him with Gates. So why people think that Gates represents some new realism or a whole new way of approaching Iraq is kind of beyond me.
Bob, you're so cynical. He admitted that we're not winning the war in Iraq right now. Isn't that refreshing realism?
Well, but he was agreeing with General Pace, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, who said the same thing, I think it was yesterday or the day before, and Senator Warner, the chairman of the Armed Services Committee, said that Pace's position agreed with his.
Mm-hmm.
So all Gates was doing was agreeing with the chairman and the chairman of the committee and the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. But I know it was picked on by the news media that was looking for something like this as some big deal. But if you really look at what Gates said in his testimony, he says that the United States will remain militarily in Iraq for a very long time. He's not saying the U.S. is going to be leaving anytime soon.
Well, and back to the Rummy memo of November 6th, he recommended an accelerated drawdown of U.S. bases. He said we've reduced from 110 to 55. Let's get down to 15 by April of next year and 5 bases by July of next year. That's surprising, particularly many of us who've been concerned about the call for enduring or permanent bases in Iraq.
Right, but his, so here's Rumsfeld going essentially wobbly, as Margaret Thatcher might say, on the Iraq war, and suddenly he's out.
Mm-hmm.
And here comes Bob Gates, who I think has been itching to get into some really big job in Washington, coming back. And the Democrats, you know, just completely fall over themselves to embrace him. There was no tough questioning. There was no effort to really pin him down on whether he agrees with this idea of remaking the Middle East that the neoconservatives have espoused. There was no tough questioning about how his history of politicizing intelligence and other things might affect his judgment as he goes to the future.
Mm-hmm.
It was this assumption that he's turned over a new leaf and that he will be this neo-realist, but there was no real evidence to support that.
I think the Democrats have extended a lot of trust, and I think they're going to get screwed. Dave, join us from Humboldt. You're on the air here on the Peter B. Collins Show with Robert Perry.
Hey, Robert. It's my belief that Robert Gates is going to be a totally dreadful Secretary of Defense. He will, however, be a very compatible one with the criminal administration that has appointed him, and we're not going to expect to get any better than him. His job will be to provide the administration with whatever false intelligence they want, and that's why he's being appointed. And he'll be there to tell them how much of a threat Iran is when the time is right. But that's what we've got. As long as the criminals that are occupying our White House are permitted to remain there, we're going to expect nothing better than what we're getting from virtually every appointment they give us. That's my harsh opinion.
Rob, Bob,
well, you know,
your reaction?
I think what was perhaps most surprising to me, and I guess I'm not that surprised because I've been around Washington too long, but that the Democrats, after winning an election where they won almost heavily because of the public's of anger about the Iraq war and mm-hmm. all that led us into it and has kept us there, that they would then, on their first chance to have at least a meaningful informational hearing that relates to where we're headed, what we've done, how we've done it, and who's going to be doing it in the future, they behave this way. It's almost like they lost the election.
Yeah.
Listening to them, I had the sense that they weren't asking coherent questions. They were trying not to offend. I'm not sure if this has become sort of part of their cultural makeup, having been in the minority for a number of years now.
Did anybody ask him the basic question about whether it's a civil war right now?
Well, I think there was a little bit of jousting about that, but nothing of any real substance.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even sure it was a Democrat who asked him, but he basically ducked the question. As I guess it's as they're wont to do. The only time he was actually a little bit caught was on this issue of winning or losing, and that was really framed by Warner. Although Levin did follow up and then I think it was followed up again in a subsequent setting. But even that doesn't amount to any real significant change, basically. Gates was saying that Bush will decide where to go. Gates won't be a bump on the log, that he's going to go along with what the president wants.
We're going to take a break and continue with Robert Perry. Your comments are welcome on the Gates nomination, voted out of the committee 21-0 today. Where are the Democrats? Why do they handle it in this manner? I'm asking. If you've got an answer, bring it on. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372 puts you through to the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Step Talk Uncensored is a new talk show where we speak openly about the deadly, shame-based disease of alcoholism and addictions. In this country, most of us are affected in some way. causes and cures, genetics or willpower. Saturday, 4 to 5 with Sheila Gale, brought to you in part by Myrick Photographic in Monterey. Go to myrickphoto.com and get your holiday cards online. Saturdays at 4 with Sheila on KRXA, 12-Step Talk, uncensored. It's about time.
Hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right, dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready!
This is Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. As your licensed real estate broker, our mission at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors is excellence and contribution, and our only concern is to promote and protect your interests. Quite simply, if the best result for you means no deal for us, we will immediately tell you. Selling but concerned about tax consequences? As a CPA, I can advise you of the implications of any capital gain. Seeking income-producing property? With a Stanford engineering degree, I have developed cash flow analysis to evaluate various opportunities. If you're buying a home, my promise is to help you find your dream house under the most favorable terms. We at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors are dedicated to our community. We will contribute $250 out of every local transaction to the school of your choice. I am Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. Call me at 753-5310. That's 753-5310. Stop by 1271 North Davis Road in Salinas, across from Applebee's, or browse to prunetarealestate.com.
Hi, this is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to 3 here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to 3 on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking about the confirmation hearing today, the instant hearing on Robert Gates to be the next defense secretary. Coming up right after the top of the hour, Medea Benjamin will join us from Code Pink for Peace. And I guess that means she wasn't at the hearing, because otherwise she would have been arrested and unavailable to comment to it. We continue with Robert Perry, and if you've never been to consortiumnews.com, there's a lot of great reporting there, and it's done independently. They can always use your help, so if you're in a position to make a contribution, go right ahead and do that. You'd be doing me and Bob Perry a favor. Jason in Phoenix, join us next here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You dialed 1-888-5-PETER-B.
Thank you, Peter, for letting me take this call. And pretty much, I mean, it's apparent and evident that both parties are just now one. I mean, behind closed-door sessions, it's all backdoor meetings now. I mean, a lot of the American people just can't wake up and see this, that they're both the same party now.
Well, Rummy's gone, but the Democrats are awful chummy, wouldn't you say? We replaced Rummy for chummy?
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, there's just no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I mean, they're just basically, they're scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. Sure, we'll hand over this for this.
Well, let me ask, Robert Perry, is there a brilliant strategy here that is just lost on me? Are they putting a big hook out there that Robert Gates will get caught on?
Well, I think the practical result of this is going to be that Bush has bought himself some more time, months perhaps, to pursue his war policies. Without any significant change, the idea of still having victory in the concept that Bush has described it will remain the policy. But the Democrats, by having bought into this, will have a harder time at least quickly coming to a point of criticizing Gates. I mean, this, frankly, this reminds me a little bit of February 5th, 2003, which was the day that Colin Powell mm-hmm. gave his infamous speech to the United Nations, and we put up a story at Consortium News saying, trust Colin Powell with a question mark, and we went back and pointed to a number of stories we'd done, including a whole series about Colin Powell's real record, where we went through actually how he did rise to power and what an opportunist he had been throughout his career. And but at the time, if you remember, everyone in official Washington was falling on their knees praising Colin Powell.
Yeah, because he wasn't Rumsfeld or Cheney. He seemed to be a little more rational.
Well, he used that his image mm-hmm. and his reputation, which I think was not a deserved reputation, but one that he'd gotten over time. He'd used it to promote, you know, patently false intelligence on Iraq.
Almost
everything he said turned out to be a lie.
Yeah.
But the official Washington was enthralled, and I'm seeing something similar here with Gates. There's this effort on the part of the press, on the part of Democrats, everybody, to sort of praise this guy, when if you look at his real record, which we've been trying to compile at consortiumnews.com over the past couple of weeks, if you look at his real record, it's a very different story.
Mm-hmm. And again, Bob, I did not expect that the Democrats would reject the nomination or attempt to filibuster or stall or stop it. What I wanted to see was a complete record. And the information that you and I have been discussing should have been made a part of that record. They should have had people like Mel Goodman and Ray McGovern offer dissenting testimony on this nomination. And instead, they raced it through with the complicity of the incoming chairman, Carl Levin.
Right. This is, of course, not the first time that Carl Levin has sort of bought into this bipartisanship scheme he also took part in what turned out to be kind of a fraudulent position relating to the detainees. If you remember back in late 2005, he was sort of snookered apparently into buying into this court stripping provision that was snuck into one of the bills that prevented the courts from weighing in on Geneva Convention. So you've had a history of this goal of bipartisanship, and bipartisanship can, you know, while there might be some times when it's useful and good, but if it simply means following President Bush, if that's what bipartisanship means.
And if it's unilateral disarmament, and if they accept, I mean, again, today they brushed aside any commentary about how we got into this mess and who's responsible for it.
One interesting thing, Peter, was that it turns out that I did not fully realize this, but Gates, one interesting piece of testimony came out was he says he was for the invasion.
Yeah, I heard that.
My impression was that he had been a real on-the-fence guy, but he came out and said, no, he was for the invasion. So mm-hmm. here was a guy who was wrong from the beginning. Apparently he's still, you know, taking this kind of position of supporting the war on into the future. And the Democrats don't even hold him to some kind of standard of walking him through his thinking, you know, finding out, does he really buy into the neoconservative theories mm-hmm. about the Middle East, or doesn't he?
Yeah, does he support PNAC? Jason, did you have another comment?
No, pretty much it's just, I mean, that's another thing that needs to be brought up is what you're talking about PNAC and all this stuff,
mm-hmm.
What's going on in the, it's the further down the road situation, and that's exactly what's going on now, just like you're talking about, take Remy out, put Gates in.
Yeah.
It's now just basically, let's move this chess piece here. That's what it's basically breaking down to.
Thanks, Jason. Now, Barbara in Cave Creek, a quick comment?
Well, do they have a picture of Carl Levin in his underwear somewhere? I mean, now, did Dianne Feinstein vote for this guy, too?
She's not on this committee.
She's not on this committee.
Hillary Clinton is.
Feinstein, who I'm often critical of, my senior senator from California, she has said she will vote against Gates. And that's the only Democrat I know who has stated that publicly to date. Bob, is that true?
That's the best I know. I mean, there might be a couple, but the fact that there was no record put together at all that would be skeptical or critical of Gates in this hearing makes it harder for any Democrat to stand up on the floor and oppose him.
Yeah.
Do they want to see this guy? I mean, is this a kind of let the Republicans twist in the wind because they know they don't have the votes to really get rid of him anyway?
Right, I don't think they really thought they could defeat Gates, but they could stop him. They could, they could certainly delay him through this lame duck session. The session's only lasting a week.
Yeah.
So they
I don't understand. Unless they, you know, I'm...
Barbara, sorry I'm out of time, and sorry to you too, Bob Perry. Thank you for your coverage, and thanks for joining us again today.
Okay, Peter. Thanks.
We'll talk again soon. Robert Parry, P-A-R-R-Y, consortiumnews.com. Medea Benjamin joins us next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Tired of that dreaded drive into town for fresh quality produce? The Produce Barn in Carmel Valley Village has the perfect solution to your problem. Owners Ed Drobnik and Don Bikey have over 50 years of combined experience in the produce business and are passing the substantial savings on to their customers. The Produce Barn offers a wide selection of conventional and certified organic seasonal fresh fruits and vegetables. We also carry a fine selection of specialty candies and snacks, exquisite gourmet gift items, and feature Freedom Meats savory sausages, bacon, and marinated fresh meats. Heck, we even throw in free recipes. So, whether you're a restaurant, lodge, home chef, or treasured village visitor, stop by the Produce Barn at 13750A Center Street in the Center Street Plaza, behind Wells Fargo, and right next to the Chatterbox. We're open 7 days a week.
The Produce Barn in Carmel Valley Village, 659-5916. That's 659-5916. The Produce Barn.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Robert Gates clears his first Senate hurdle.
I am under no illusion why I am sitting before you today. The war in Iraq.
And he says all options are on the table.
He's not Don Rumsfeld.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. After cursory hearings, the Senate Armed Services Committee has endorsed Robert Gates for Secretary of Defense, sending the nomination to the full Senate, which could vote as early as tomorrow. Daniel Gouray of the Lexington Institute, a former Pentagon official, says Gates is sailing to confirmation for the simple reason that he represents change.
Gates is a better diplomat. He is less confrontational. He doesn't come in with the same negative attitude towards Congress that Secretary Rumsfeld had from the get-go. And he's more willing to be conciliatory.
CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss begins our coverage.
The unanimous vote followed a day of testimony in which Gates impressed Democrats like Carl Levin of Michigan with his blunt talk and clear message that Iraq policy must change.
The tone that he set this morning was one of openness, independence, directness.
Especially in answering one of the first questions Levin asked.
Do you believe that we are currently winning in Iraq? No, sir.
Gates said there had been lots of mistakes made in Iraq and listed them and said the president wouldn't have chosen him if he didn't want to change and wouldn't listen to his advice. But that doesn't mean he'll take it.
There is still only one president of the United States, and he will make the final decision.
Gates wouldn't say if he favors more troops in Iraq or a pullout or something in between, but said everything's on the table. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
I'm Mark Noller at the White House. At first, Robert Gates said, no, sir, when a senator asked if the U.S. is winning in Iraq. He later said the U.S. is neither winning nor losing at this point. Those answers are in stark contrast to President Bush's response the last time he was asked.
Absolutely, we're winning.
That was on October 25th. Asked how Mr. Bush would answer today, spokesman Tony Snow wouldn't speculate. And he said the broader answer from Gates is consistent with the president's view that progress is being made in Iraq. Mark Noller, CBS News, the White House.
Mr. Bush had lunch today with former Secretary of State James Baker, who briefed him on the Iraq Study Group's recommendations. The report comes out tomorrow. Now this.
I am Dr. Jen, and I'm taking your love life calls. And here's Kevin. Go ahead.
Jen, what's the easiest way to get to 79 Williams Ave?
Follow your heart?
For the easiest route to any address, you want to ask TomTom, not JenJen.
Turn left.
TomTom Go is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Grab it and go. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you on your way.
You have reached your destination.
TomTom Go. Find your way the easy way. Learn more at TomTom.com.
I've got a cough that won't quit.
That's why Robitussin DM is my Robitussin.
My chest is all congested, so Robitussin Chest Congestion is my Robitussin.
My cold came with a cough, and my head is stuffed up too. That's why Robitussin CF is my Robitussin.
Robitussin has formulas for coughs, for colds, for congestion, and for flu. So no matter what you've got, there's Robitussin Relief with your name on it. Use as directed.
A troubling development in the search for James Kim, the San Francisco man who got stranded with his family in the snowy Coast Range of southern Oregon.
We did locate a pair of pants, and the family has confirmed that the pants are similar to a pair of pants that Mr. Kim had.
State Police Lieutenant Doug Ladd says it's good news in the sense that they're on Kim's trail, but his fate remains a mystery. Kim hasn't been seen since he left his wife and two children Saturday to get help. They were rescued yesterday from their snowbound car and released from the hospital today. The latest E. coli outbreak now includes at least four people in Montgomery County, Pennsylvania, and health officials say three of them had eaten at Taco Bell. Investigators are following the trail of infections that started in the New York suburbs, trying to trace the source. More than 50 people in New Jersey and on Long Island were sickened, most after eating at Taco Bell last month. Nine restaurants were closed to be disinfected. The New York City Board of Health is unanimous. It's voted to require all restaurants to stop cooking with trans fats, starting with frying oil, next July. Officials say it's a matter of public health, but for the restaurant industry, Mark Erickson at the Culinary Institute of America says it's a matter of economics.
This is going to be a challenge for restaurant owners because it'll require them to do a tremendous amount of work to reformulate some of their recipes, look for alternative ingredients, and they have no choice but to pass that cost on to the consumer.
The National Restaurant Association says trans fat shouldn't be banned because it is a legal substance, and the association says it's considering a legal challenge to the city's ban. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Get the good stuff.
Napa's heating up the holidays with the hot new number 55 Napa Remote Control Race Car Sweepstakes. This detailed race car measures in at over 35 inches long, and it tops out at over 20 miles per hour. It features digital proportional steering, variable speeds, and a range of over 50 yards. Batteries are included, and one car will be given away at every participating Napa Auto Parts store. Enter to win today at Napa. Napa, get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff.
Okay, Mr. Cold is out there, and he's coming. What can you do? Get Dual Action Healthy Relief Cold Reduce Lozenges now. Why? Because they're dual action. They relieve your cold symptoms and are formulated to reduce the duration of your cold by days. So when Mr. Cold comes knocking, you can escort him out fast. Homeopathic Healthy Relief Cold Reduce Lozenges. A better way to feel your best, fast. Also in flu formula at retailers everywhere. Read and follow label warnings and directions.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. You heard about that pesky war on terror thing?
There's this great Popeye cartoon where he gets inside a Bluto's shirt and he's popping out of his sleeves going, here I am, over here, you. And Bluto is confused. He's going,
hey, where'd you, why are you,
trying to beat up Popeye, and he ends up pummeling himself, and that is the war on terror. That is the war on terror. It's the war on terror.
Hey, we got a new leader for that war on terror thing. Robert Gates got a 21-0 vote out of the Armed Services Committee of the Senate today after a single day of hearings. And while there was some truthiness, not a lot of truth, not a lot of speaking truth to power, and no real details about the sordid history of Robert Gates at the CIA. We turn now to Medea Benjamin, who apparently was not at the hearings because she is unincarcerated today. She's with Code Pink for Peace, a co-founder there, and also Global Exchange. Hello, Medea.
Hey, Peter. Nice to be on your show.
And you apparently didn't get into the hearings today because you're not at in somebody's custody.
No, I'm on trial this week.
Oh, I'm sorry. You have to take them one at a time, huh?
I do. I'm in trial for an arrest that happened back in March when we were delivering a Women Say No to War petition signed by 72,000 women to the U.S. mission to the U.N. That's John Bolton's old hangout.
Right.
And instead of being a diplomat, which he was supposed to be, and just saying, thank you very much for your work and taking our petition, they locked down the whole building and had us arrested, and we're on trial.
And how's that going?
It's going great because I think this jury that was just selected today is looking at this case and saying, why the hell are these women on trial instead of John Bolton?
Well, he could be available to testify now.
Well, he should be, you would think, and it's pretty ironic that this very week that he's resigned is the week that we are on trial. So we're asking for our charges to be dropped and for him to give us a big, fat apology.
And who, in your venue shopping, what judge did you draw?
We have a very lovely judge who seems quite fair, and the defendants are myself and Cindy Sheehan, mm-hmm. another Gold Star family member, and a woman who is an Episcopal priest. So I think we're quite an impressive group of peace activists,
mm-hmm.
and while I resent the fact that we're even on trial, it's kind of nice to see how the prosecution is squirming, because it really, I think, is embarrassing that they would take four women who are only trying to stop violence and put them on trial for trying to deliver a petition to a diplomatic office.
And exactly who is the plaintiff in this case?
It's the city of New York that was asked to arrest us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, it reflects that whole John Bolton style of, you know, shoot first, ask questions later. John Bolton is the anti-diplomat, and whether it's nixing negotiations with Iran or directly with North Korea or his great support for this war in Iraq, you know, our little bitty incident is just a reflection of that lack of diplomacy, inability to try to resolve conflicts nonviolently, and just escalation with no cause.
And you're diplomatic because you didn't include arrogance.
That's right. That's right. But let me tell you, we were very delighted when our trial started and somebody announced that John Bolton had just resigned.
Yeah, that was the best news I've had so far this week.
That's right. So we have Rumsfeld, we have Bolton. It looks like there's a little bit of a roll.
Mm-hmm. Well, unfortunately today, as I mentioned previously, we traded Rummy for Chummy. The Democrats were extremely conciliatory and accommodating to this nominee. And even Carl Levin, who had voted against him as CIA director in 1991, glossed over that record. He did, to his credit, bring it up, but he only brought it up for to give Gates the opportunity to dismiss it.
That's right, and to say, let's just move forward and not look at that uncomfortable past. I'm very worried about these Democrats. Let me tell you, we got the Gates issue, which just shows a lack of spine, and then we have this over $100 billion of new funds for war that's going to be coming up very soon that people like Nancy Pelosi and John Murtha and Carl Levin have all said, that's not on the table. Of course we're against this war, but we're going to vote for billions more dollars for it. So we've got our work cut out for us to really make these Democrats do what they're supposed to do, which is be in opposition.
Well, and Medea, it's a little bit stunning. Let me mention, for the benefit of our listeners in Arizona and Oregon who might not know this, in 2000, you challenged Senator Feinstein as the Green Party candidate for the U.S. Senate from California. And it's interesting that so far, to my knowledge, the only senator who has announced an intention to vote against Robert Gates is Dianne Feinstein.
All right.
Isn't that amazing?
So do I get to take credit for that?
Sure.
Is that what you're implying there, Peter? That's pretty cool.
Well, I was surprised because I so frequently criticize Ms. Feinstein that to have an opportunity to say, wow, she's right. She agrees with me for a change.
But let me say that it is only when we challenge these people that they start to move on their positions. I mean, I'm no great fan of Jane Harman, who just was passed over for the head of the Intelligence Committee. But I saw that when a more progressive Democrat challenged her in the primary, all of a sudden she started coming out as an anti-war person, which she was very pro-war before. So I do think it's important that in this, quote, democratic process, that people challenge these Democrats.
And did you see Harmon's comments last week at about the same time that she was passed over and Sylvester Reyes was named to chair intelligence on the House side? She issued a statement that really was blistering against the Bush administration, sharply critical of the NSA program, And gosh, you know, if we could just roll back the date on that by a year or two, I'd be able to say nice things about Jane Harmon.
That's right. And it wasn't until Nancy Winograd from Southern California, challenged her that she started changing her position. And we saw that in the primary races, in those areas where there was really a significant challenge. It did force the incumbent Democrats to take a more progressive position. So I think it's important that we recognize how the incumbents have to be challenged, that they can't be given a pass just because they're in Democratic territory, that they think that they can take for granted that they're going to be reelected.
Mm-hmm. I will share this with you. I don't always announce how I vote. But once again this year, I voted for the Green Party candidate for the United States Senate because I didn't want Dianne Feinstein, who was cakewalking to reelection, to take my vote for granted.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, not enough people joined you in that because I think people don't recognize when there is no question that someone like Dianne Feinstein is going to be reelected. When you vote for a Green Party candidate or a progressive alternative, that is sending a message.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't do enough strategic thinking about our votes to send these messages.
We're talking with Medea Benjamin here on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you'd like to join us and talk about the Gates cakewalk to confirmation, you can call us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Now, I know you were busy today, so I'll just share part of this with you. Senator Nelson of Florida, Bill Nelson, twice talked about the bipartisan approach that is necessary for foreign policy. And as I listened to him, I wanted to, you know, poke him in the eye or something right through the radio because, Medea, we have seen the Republicans operate not only in a partisan way, in a hyper-partisan way, the entire last 6 years. And for the Democrats now to broach this idea of bipartisanship is a nice idea. But in this context, it amounts to surrender.
Well, that's right. And we're in the midst of this horrendous war. You would think that the confirmation hearings of Gates would be revolving around his position on the war. And they basically gave him a pass on it.
Well, they permitted him to... Here's an exchange. I've got it in front of me here. First, Carl Levin. Mr. Gates, do you believe we're currently winning in Iraq? No, sir, he said. And then a little bit later, John McCain said, victory is elusive. We're not winning the war in Iraq. Is that correct? That is my view. Yes, Senator. So this is what I referred to as truthiness. I mean, he is stating the obvious and being patted on the back as if, you know, he is revealing great, unknowns, to quote Rumsfeld.
But, Peter, did they even ask him, will you be someone who will start the withdrawal that has to happen to end this war in Iraq?
Of course not, because they permitted him to say all options are on the table and go no further than that. And, of course, as a caller pointed out earlier, the Baker Report isn't even out until tomorrow. And they couldn't hold this the committee vote until after that and ask Gates what he thinks about it. He just sat on that commission until his nomination 3 weeks ago. It just doesn't make sense. And they were going against the clock that Bill Frist set, that this hardworking Senate, after 95 days of work this year, is going to adjourn at the end of this week. And so they knew that they could use tactics to delay, short of a filibuster, that could still have pushed this confirmation into the new Senate that has nominal Democratic control.
Well, it makes no sense at all, and it doesn't bode well for the kind of fierce opposition that we need to Bush's policies in the next Congress.
We got to take a break. We'll return with Medea Benjamin. We'll take your calls. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
The Monterey Peninsula College Holiday Jewelry Sale is here, starting Tuesday, December 5th through the 7th. It's your chance to buy gorgeous, one-of-a-kind silver and metal jewelry pieces, plus fabulous metal art, also handmade ceramics, over 20 of our most talented artists, with affordable, delicious jewelry. This sale is Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, December 5th, 6th, and 7th. Open all day till 7 p.m. at Monterey Peninsula College, 980 Fremont in Monterey. Follow the signs for parking. Don't miss it. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey has everything you need, from high-end liquor to the very best in fine wines. It's the real deal. Family-owned for over 40 years, John will give you one-on-one personal attention, just like family. Have a special request? Not a problem. Open every day from 9 to 9. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is located on Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village, near the Del Monte Center. Look for Doug Huckleberry, who greets you at the door. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits wants you to please drink responsibly.
Well, for your first look of traffic, going to start in Gilroy, southbound 101 at Monterey Street, with a vehicle that actually spun out and hit the center divide. It's now blocking the left-hand lane. Tow truck is en route to clear that on out of there. And a five-vehicle accident being cleared over to the right-hand shoulder in Monterey. It's southbound 1 at Moonris Avenue. Minor injuries are reported in this, so CHP tow trucks on the scene, as well as emergency crews handling the minor injuries. In Santa Cruz, northbound 17, before Paso Tiempo Drive, we have a stalled vehicle blocking that right-hand lane there. And also some construction going on in Santa Cruz. Northbound Highway 1, the Ameline Avenue off-ramp is closed for long-term road work, and this is scheduled actually all the way through December of next year. This report brought to you by TomTom. TomTom Go is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Just tap the screen, and a helpful voice guides you on your way. To learn more, visit TomTom.com. I'm Diane with Traffic, KRXA 540.
Allen Show with a reading from the Gospel of Grace Jones. And in the Senate Armed Services Committee today, the role of Grace Jones was played by Robert Dole. We continue now on the PBC show with Medea Benjamin, Global Exchange, and Code Pink for Peace. A couple of emails came in. One from Jim. Gates was a quid pro quo for the axing of Rumsfeld. This was in stone days ago, he says. And from Al, the header reads, sorry, dude. Oh, wait a minute. I got to get back into the right part of my inbox here. Al had a very interesting and informed comment here. He says, the truth is the Gates nomination ensures Pappy Bush and the Carlyle Group a prolonged war for profit. Gates, the Iran-Contra criminal nomination and subsequent approval as Secretary of Defense will just ensure the war will continue and prolong the imperialism and profits for a long time. He goes on, but the next paragraph reads, impeachment, forget it. Medea, this is not an auspicious start for the Democrats as they get ready to take control in a couple of weeks.
Sounds like you got some smart listeners, Peter.
Well, we do. I wish we could get some of them in the Senate Armed Services Committee.
Yeah, that's for sure. And I think your listener who talked about impeachment being off the table, you know, that depends on us a lot. We can say all we want about the Democrats not standing up, but, you know, it also is about how much we're willing to push them.
Yeah. And at today's hearing, to use Stephen Colbert's term, there were these elements of truth, truthiness, but not really, you know, full-scale revelation. There was one voice I wanted to hear there, and it was Raed Jarar, who is part of your team at Global Exchange.
He
was on our program last week, Medea, and I was not only impressed with him and the connections that he's cultivated with members of the Iraqi parliament, but the commentary he offered us is that the situation in Baghdad is much more dire than even the people who think they're in touch with reality believe.
Well, that's right. According to Raed, who is not only reading all the blogs and the Iraqi websites, but talking for hours every single day to people in Iraq, is that the Maliki government is falling apart. And it doesn't, there are various coalitions being put together now of Sunni and Shia groups that are saying that Maliki really represents George Bush, and that's about it at this point, and that a government that's really representative of the desires of the Iraqi people has to be put in place. And the desires of the Iraqi people at this point is to find a way to end the violence. And the only way forward they see in that is to sit down at negotiations, and there has to be a precondition for all of that, and that's a timetable for U.S. withdrawal. Without that, violence will continue unabated. So I think Raed represents the young generation of Iraqis who is really in touch with what the people there are desperate to see, and that is some way out that means a peace plan.
Yeah. Well, Raed really needs to be heard on a wider basis, so I hope you'll commend him for his work and propel him as far into the mainstream media as they'll accept. Let's take some calls.
I also have a friend here, Cindy Sheehan, who would love to say hello to you, Peter.
Oh, please, put her on the line.
Okay, here's Cindy. Hello.
Hello, Cindy. It's Peter B. How are you today?
Hi, Peter. I'm okay. How are you?
It's great to talk with you again.
Nice to talk to you again.
And Medea gave us a rundown on the trial that's underway right now. And as always, we thank you for your courage in speaking up and the voice that you have brought to the anti-war movement.
Oh, well, I think we're causing a peaceful revolution in this country, but we still have to hold the Democrats' feet to the fire. And Gold Star Families for Peace and other activists are going to be there in D.C. on January 3rd and 4th just lobbying Congress and telling them, hey, we voted for a change of direction in this country, and we expect you to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's clear that the election was not enough to send a message to the Democratic leadership, and that we need to keep renewing that message and make sure they hear it loud and clear.
Right, you know, and we did. We went out. We didn't so much vote for the Democrats, but we voted for change. We voted against the war. We voted against George Bush. And it's just time for them to start acting like Democrats and not Republicans.
Yeah. Well, and I'm just chagrined that the vote was 21-0 out of the committee. I didn't expect it to fail, but I would like to see some Democrats stand up and say, you know, I have principled objections to this, and I want that to be on the record.
Absolutely. There's some exciting things coming up. There's going to be an appropriations bill coming up for a vote in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
And Dennis Kucinich says we have to start lobbying our congresspeople right now to vote against it, because a vote for appropriations is a vote for the war. It's a vote for George Bush's policies. And Democrats can't say they're against the war if they keep voting to fund the war.
And they have to have the courage to stand up and say, I'm not voting against the troops, I'm voting against the war.
Exactly. I mean, they're voting for the troops. The troops want to come home. You know, about 75% of the troops polled say they want to come home.
Mm-hmm.
They're on their fourth tours of duty. They're being abused by their commander-in-chief. You know, it's time that we support them by bringing them home. They've just been doing the best they can, and now it's time to reward them and bring them back to their families.
Cindy, thanks for joining us today. I'm flat out of time here. Give my best to Medea, and I hope you prevail in the court case.
Thank you, Peter. It was nice talking to you.
Yeah, we'll talk again soon. That's Cindy Sheehan along with Medea Benjamin in Washington. I'm Peter B. Collins. Jason Leopold joins us next.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is hands down the finest Volvo maintenance and repair shop in Monterey County. Owners Mike Brooks and Tracy Palacco are both factory trained in Volvo service and repair. They provide outstanding quality and great service at reasonable prices. They only work on Volvos, so you know that your Volvo will be in caring and skilled hands. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside, or you can call Mike and Tracy at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
Fresh eyes at the Defense Department. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Robert Gates is about to take over as Secretary of Defense.
In my view, all options are on the table.
And will he work well with others?
If confirmed, I plan urgently to consult with our military leaders and our combat commanders in the field, as well as with others in the executive branch and in Congress.
And will he be independent?
Senator, I am not giving up the presidency of Texas A&M, the job that I've probably enjoyed more than any that I've ever had, to be a bump on a log.
Now, that will be a contrast to his predecessor, who confronted with setbacks like, for example, the looting of Baghdad, first accused the media of showing the same looters over and over again, and then basically blew it off.
Stuff happens, and it's untidy, and freedom's untidy, and free people are free to make mistakes and commit crimes and do bad things.
Generals who said we went in without enough troops, diplomats who warned us we wouldn't be welcomed, CIA agents who warned us we had bum information, they were all blown off because they weren't on board with the official storyline. That being, no matter what happens, it's proof we're winning. More insurgent attacks. It shows the desperation of the enemy, and it's proof that we're winning. Huge numbers of Iraqi army casualties. It shows the Iraqi army is in the fight, and it's proof that we're winning. But today, Robert Gates said that he would listen.
I will give most serious consideration to the views of those who lead our men and women in uniform. Of course, it is the president who will decide what, if any, changes are made in our approach.
Now this.
Now you can dial a diamond and save half by calling Empire Diamond at 1-800-SAVE-HALF. Over 70 years in the Empire State Building, they'll sell diamonds wholesale without a middleman's markup. That's right, GIA-graded diamonds at half the price of famous high-end jewelers. Qualified buyers may have diamonds sent to their home or office for a free 10-day no-obligation inspection and get a 60-day money-back guarantee. So save half on your diamonds. Visit at dialadiamond.com or call 1-800-SAVE-HALF. That's 1-800-SAVE-HALF.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside. It's time for me to press this button here. I think I'll press this button here. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, we are live on 5 radio stations right now, and I feel the power. It's the Peter B. Collins Show, live up and down the left coast and oozing eastward now in Arizona. Lines are open if you'd like to comment on the Gates cakewalk confirmation. 21 to zip the vote out of the Armed Services Committee today. Couldn't they have done it a little faster and, you know, just kind of rubber stamped it, huh? 888-5 Peter B is our toll-free number, 888-573-8372. And we will be taking more calls in the Free Speech Zone next hour, but you're welcome to call before then. And we were just about to go to some callers when Medea Benjamin popped Cindy Sheehan on the line at the end of that last segment. So feel free to join us, 888-5 Peter B. It's time for our weekly visit with Jason Leopold. He's the investigative reporter at truthout.org, the author of a memoir for a young man called News Junkie. And Jason, how are you today?
Pretty good, Peter. How are you?
Not too bad. I rolled out of the sack a little early here on the West Coast so I could watch the early parts of the Gates Love Fest there.
That was indeed a love fest. And, you know, certainly there were indications very early on. In fact, I would say a day or so after Bush made the announcement that he would be tapping Gates to fill Rumsfeld's shoes, that he would receive, you know, absolute support from the Democrats, despite the long, dark history of his involvement in Iran-Contra.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
He was part of the Reagan administration.
He was.
And since Reagan died, we all know that nothing bad happened during the Reagan administration.
Yeah. But he was. Some of these same senators also did not join in the unison. They did not confirm him
in 1991.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, I sense that the statements that are being made by Robert Gates, where while they are factual, we're not winning the war in Iraq, is also a way to warm up to the Democrats to have a, you know, to get this confirmation going.
You're correct.
To avoid all of these questions, to avoid these issues, again, who's getting shortchanged here? The public, the people that are obviously fighting this war, and just the general public, they're the ones that are not getting the information.
Well, you correctly point out that Harry Reid set the tone early on, and he has talked about challenging the Republicans on a number of issues. He's talked about the 100-hour legislative proposal that they hope to enact starting January 4th.
Right.
But he clearly indicated that he wanted a quick confirmation of Gates, and it appears that order went right down the line.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, the Armed Services Committee just, he sailed right through there. It was painless. And, there are still many unanswered questions that obviously date back, a quarter century. However, with regard to Iran, I think that it's very important to see what this what his position is. I mean, this is a, just to sort of hear, which I interpreted as lip service, saying that we're not winning the war in Iraq, and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. Well, you know, it's more than that. We've got issues that are a war that's devastating at this point, that's sort of underreported in Afghanistan as well. And what is his, how is he going to handle, how is he going to juggle these various quagmires, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Well, did you hear any discussion of Afghanistan?
No,
it only came up peripherally because Robert Byrd and I'm not making fun of him for being old, but he really is showing his age.
Yeah.
And doddering is not an unfair term. Anyway, he stumbled through a question that surprised Gates about Osama bin Laden. Where is he?
Yeah.
And that was the peripheral, that was where a comment came up peripherally about Afghanistan and Pakistan.
Right.
But I did not hear, and I didn't hear the whole session today, so I may have to correct myself after I review the coverage. But again, from what I heard, there was not a word about the setbacks in Afghanistan. One other thing, Liddy Dole talked about the increase in the opium crop there.
Well, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, because that is such a crucial issue right now that needs to be addressed. And there is a great report in the L.A. Times today, which says that the Pentagon, which Robert Gates will be heading, won't lift a finger to sort of address this. Now, these, you know, the sale of opium, which is just, again, is enabling or empowering the resurgence of the Taliban again. And it's, you know, there's a great report on how that, you know, the Pentagon is more or less turning a blind eye to it.
Well, we've given up on Afghanistan.
We've totally given up.
We claim that NATO has it under control.
Right. Right. Yeah. If somebody pays a little, just a bit of attention to what's going on, you know, out there, you'd think that our elected officials, and I am going to be critical of the Democrats here, that they just don't seem to really either care, or you know, they just want to, you know, get this through. Maybe it will. They feel that, you know, getting Robert Gates in will enable them to just, you know, start going after other things, which I know that they intend to do. But listen, when it comes to just asking questions, it's important. You know, people deserve an answer.
Yeah. Let's take a call. We've got Hal on the line from Coos Bay, Oregon this afternoon. Hello, Hal. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Jason Leopold.
Hi, you guys. How are you doing?
Good.
You kind of touched on a question that I called just because I was just kind of my basic question is just like what I kind of feel as though the Democrats are just saying, okay, look, you know, get this guy in here. In a couple of months, we can start organizing and getting all of these criminals out, I hope. I mean, I know that that's what we're doing, is hoping that somebody takes somebody to account for all this stuff. But, I mean, from John Negroponte, you know, is he still in command of his, what he's doing? I mean, these guys are all
excuse me?
Era.
Wait. You got to be careful here, Hal. Because our guy Benny at the NSA is monitoring the Peter B. Collins Show.
Okay.
Our telephone service is provided by AT&T.
Okay.
And so anything that you say is going to be reported directly to Negroponte, who is the czar of intelligence. And just like Brownie, he's doing a heck of a job.
Heck of a job.
Yeah, heck of a job. But I had the question, and this is something that I've been kind of coming up with for the last couple of years. In Afghanistan, with the opium trade that you're talking about, why couldn't we legitimize the opium trade as a legitimate medicine on its way to becoming medicine for the world? Why can't, you know, instead of criminalizing everything?
Hal, I got to stop you there because you're guilty of rational thinking and you are oblivious to the 30-year war on drugs. You know, we lost the war on drugs before we lost the war on terror, and
right.
If you think we're going to change course now, you're crazy.
Just say no. legitimizing it is they're doing it in their own way by just ignoring, you know, pretending it doesn't exist.
Yeah, but they're by doing that, of course, they're continuing like you just said, their war on whatever they want to have their war on. They're continuing their illegal profitizing on this whole thing.
Right.
You know.
Well, you know, if you really want to get creative, Hal, why don't we provide free meth for the Taliban? And we'll get them all gummed up on meth, and then they'll lose interest in opium.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
All right, Hal. Thanks for the call today.
Well, you know, it's funny because it's one of the things that I think was really important that they should have addressed here is that when Rumsfeld, you know, if you want to call it a doctrine or what have you, one of the things that he said when in the early days of this administration was that this is a Pentagon that he was going to run that would be able an army, a military that would be able to fight two wars at once on two different fronts, maybe even three. And that certainly is in many white papers that have been written. But if you really take a close look at Afghanistan right now and, look at what's happening there, which is getting worse, because, Iraq is sort of where most of the bloodshed is. We can't fight two wars at once. What is Robert Gates going to do to change, that whole doctrine?
Well, he talked around it. He said that he likes some of Rumsfeld's changes in Pentagon operations and doesn't like others, but he wasn't specific. And he ruled out a draft, saying that if we didn't have the war in Iraq, we wouldn't have any trouble recruiting enough people.
Oh, wow. Well, he certainly earned his paycheck.
Let's take another call. Dale is on the line from Central Florida. What town, Dale?
Lakeland.
Lakeland?
Yes.
Holy cow. I spent some time there in my, I didn't have a misbegotten youth, so it was just in my youth. We spent some time in a little town called Lake Alfred not far from there.
Correct.
Yeah. Well, it's great to hear from you. You listening online?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, great.
I have a couple of things. One, I'd like to jump in and in a way kind of defend what's going on with the today. I'm just as disappointed as anybody in the mm-hmm. Democratic Party and the voting today. But to give them the benefit of the doubt, is it possible that they're just afraid and biding their time? I mean, we have a rogue government. We have a president who has some very awesome powers to disappear people. We have seen all kinds of torture and things going on. I mean, who knows what he might do if he were provoked enough.
That's not a good enough excuse, because if anybody is going to stand up to intimidation and the risk of being disappeared, it should be the august members of the Senate Armed Services Committee.
Yeah, and I think that, I understand your argument about that, and I think there may be some validity to it. However, and the reason I say that is, in the past week I've spoken, fortunate enough to speak to many different members of the Democratic leadership, and what they've said is, Gates is not that important of an issue for them to just sink their teeth into this to try to fight it. They are so eager to get things running in terms of the investigations into pre-war intelligence, and to also come up with with their own solutions and legislation in regard to withdrawal from Iraq. So, for them, this wasn't really an important issue, but it certainly would have been, a time for them to show that, hey, we, we're a strong party. This has nothing to do with partisanship, but these are valid questions, and the American people deserve an answer.
And Dale, I did not expect them to fear up and use harsh interrogation techniques, including waterboarding, on Robert Gates. However, I did expect the Democrats to lay down a record of the pros and cons of Robert Gates, and the cons were not there today. They didn't talk about Iran-Contra. They didn't talk about how the CIA completely missed the implosion of the Soviet Union,
right,
and Gates was a Soviet expert. They didn't talk about the fact that he was rebuffed. He was rejected as a nominee in 1986. That is an important factor.
Yeah,
if you apply for a major job and you were fired from a similar position earlier in your career for cause, then that's something that should be considered before you get promoted. And I am just so disappointed that the Democrats just whiffed on it.
Well, this leads me to a second question. Do you think that we have elected enough new blood into the Democratic Party at this time with the recent elections to significantly begin to change the complexion of the Democratic Party, and that we will see this reflected in the 110th Congress?
No. in a word.
I think that,
And just a second, Jason. Case in point is a guy named Bill Nelson, your senator from Florida.
Yeah, I'm
now,
really disappointed.
I am relieved that he defeated Catherine Harris, although that was never in question.
Yeah.
But his comments today, twice, about promoting bipartisanship really offend me, because he is putting aside the partisanship, the extreme partisanship of the Republican Party ever since 9/11. And they have ruthlessly and cynically used our national security and almost any other source of fear to divide the American people and try to propel the Republican control of our government.
Exactly.
And that is not something that we can just get polite and chummy about and say, well, that's behind us now. We're going to have Democratic-sponsored bipartisanship. Now, neither do I want him to just go insulting people and making things worse, but there's a whole middle ground that Bill Nelson doesn't see, and NPR twice introduced him as Ben Nelson. They don't even know which Nelson he is. Hey, I got to run to a break. Thanks for calling from Lakelanddale. Good to hear from you. Keep listening and call us again. And Jason, we'll get to your comment right after the break. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. We'd like to hear from you on the Peter B. Collins Show.
I'm Pam.
And I'm Nancy.
And we're from the Potting Shed.
In Aptos. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1, heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn, but if you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find.
The barn has a lot of charm. People tend to come there just because the atmosphere is really nice.
Then they'll come and have a cup of tea, bring their dog if they have one. All the dogs who visit know exactly where the cookie jar is. So it's that kind of a place. People feel very comfortable.
When we started, we were just strictly a garden shop with pots and plants. But we had to evolve through the years because nobody needed pots and plants in the middle of winter. So we started adding things, and now it's a full-fledged gift shop.
We work very hard to try and find things that are unusual and eclectic and well-priced. That's what our customers want. We're open from 10 to 5, Wednesday through Sunday. Come by, have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
Hi, this is Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview authors, chefs, winemakers, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
Deborah Lindsay with Tomorrow Matters on KRXA 540 AM, wishing you a safe holiday season and encouraging you to make earth-friendly choices for your celebrations. Join me each Sunday at 2 to match global problems of today with local solutions for a better tomorrow. Remember, the greatest gift we can give is a healthy planet. Tomorrow Matters, right here on KRXA 540 AM, every Sunday at 2.
Keep your eyes open in Santa Cruz Mountains, northbound 17 at Idlewood Drive. Large bags of styrofoam in the right-hand lane. Slowing down in Castroville, Castroville Boulevard at Espinoza Road. Parts of the railroad crossing arms actually going up and down with no train in the area. So the same problem also being reported. Blackie Road at San Miguel Street. So CHP is on scene directing traffic through that. A stall in San Juan Batista, northbound 101 at Rocks Road. The stall is blocking one of the lanes, so CHP and route to check out exactly which one that is. And somebody lost their party dress in Greenfield. It's northbound 101 after Walnut Avenue. Pile of clothes in the second lane from the left. Highway 17, both directions through Santa Cruz Mountains. Checking in, stall, and accident free. This report is brought to you by iRobot. You have enough to do this holiday season. Let iRobot Scuba and Rumba wash and vacuum your floor so you don't have to. Robots make the perfect gift. Shop iRobot.com and save.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, where your calls and comments are welcome in the free speech zone next hour. Tell me what you think about the Gates cakewalk to confirmation. This next one is dedicated to Senator Carl Levin, who pulled a carry on us. He voted against Gates before he voted for him.
I don't remember a doggone thing.
Amnesia.
If there was anybody I was expecting to put Robert Gates through some paces today and maybe even bruise him up a little bit, it would have been Carl Levin. He voted against the Gates nomination for Central Intelligence Director in 1991 because he found him to be not forthcoming. And Lawrence Walsh, who was the special counsel who investigated Iran-Contra and came this close to indicting Robert Gates, somehow has been persuaded to offer a letter of endorsement of this nomination. Did you hear about that, Jason?
I did, and there's certainly been. I have to say that I think that some of the best reporting on this in the mainstream media has been by the LA Times, which in the past week has really put together some in-depth reports on his role, obviously, in Iran-Contra, what happened, what went on behind the scenes, and on the independent side, Robert Perry of Consortium News, who
was on with us last hour.
Great.
He's so terrific.
He covered this for Newsweek back in the 80s. So, this is sort of like, 25 years have gone by, or 20 years. Let's just sweep this under the rug. But, another thing that's incredibly troubling is the fact that they didn't discuss his financial holdings, the conflict of interest that presents.
And tell us a little bit about that. I don't have the specifics in front of me.
Well, Gates has upwards of about $1 million in stock in companies he advises that also have contracts with the Pentagon.
Mm-hmm.
One of those companies is Parco Drilling Company, which has worked with Halliburton on various projects. Gates got about $5 million from that deal, and he continues to receive money based on some of these holdings that he has in which these companies are now doing work in Iraq.
Well, then he and Dick Cheney can have some giggles over deferred compensation,
right,
and conflict of interest.
They can discuss the market, and certainly how many millions they've both cleared as a result of it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's troubling. That's certainly something that, again, is worth addressing.
Well, and then when you look at the population of the United States Senate, most of them are millionaires who have interests that go beyond their Senate seats and their constituents. Let's take another call. Mark in Phoenix, you're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Jason Leopold.
Hey, Peter. I just wanted to let you know that it really is nauseating to me that the only people that our great white leader in Washington can find to nominate are people that are criminals. How does that work? Is there nobody else qualified to do these jobs but somebody with a criminal past?
Well, I think it's interesting. I'll just make this comparison that last week Nancy Pelosi passed over Alcee Hastings because she was concerned that his ethical problems in the past that led to an investigation, an impeachment, and then an acquittal in a criminal trial would come back to bite the Democrats. And I guess there's immunity on the Republican side.
And, while John Murtha is a highly decorated veteran, and you have to give him some leeway when he speaks of things of and pertaining to military or war, he also has his own ethical problems, and
right,
he's not on the ethics committee. I can't imagine that there is nobody out there that can do these jobs that does not have some kind of criminal past. It's ridiculous to me. And just one other point I'd like to make. I think we do need bipartisanship in the Congress right now, and we need it to repeal the Military Commissions Act. That should be the first bipartisan thing we do.
Amen, Mark.
And we should offer an amendment that's called the Bill of Rights Protection Act, because every one of those amendments is non-negotiable.
Very well put.
Non-negotiable.
Mark, thanks for your call today. I really appreciate that. Jason, I wanted to turn to a piece that you published at Truth Out last Friday entitled Pull Out, Pull Back Battle Looms. And this is going to take more focus tomorrow when the not-so-secret Baker Commission report will be released.
Yeah, and, early or mid last week, I started checking in with some of the with some of the, again, the Democratic leadership as the report, the draft report, was leaked to the New York Times and the Washington Post. And, you know, it again, they were very, very clear that any report, any recommendation that goes to the president or goes to or is presented to Congress must include solid benchmarks, specific benchmarks for withdrawal, for troop withdrawal, not a quote-unquote pullback or however else they're describing it. Because here's the problem. We see the headlines in the New York Times saying that they'll recommend a pullback, but one of the things that they're not addressed or that these reports don't address right off the bat is the fact that, you know, a pullback, or at least the way they've described it, you know, just means or perhaps could mean, you know, sending these troops to another area, not necessarily bringing them home. And that's exactly what the Democrats want. In fact, today Nancy Pelosi had chaired a Democrat Iraq Forum Committee meeting, and these are some of the things that she's going to start recommending.
Got to stop there, Jason Leopold. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you next week on the...
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Robert Gates looks like a shoe-in. He's been unanimously endorsed by the Senate Armed Services Committee after a day of confirmation hearings that produced a very candid assessment of the situation he faces.
About to take over as defense secretary in the middle of a war, he says the U.S. is not winning. Bob Gates told senators he will listen to commanders in the field, the Iraq study group, members of Congress, and others in trying to come up with a new plan.
This process is going to proceed with considerable urgency.
Michigan Democrat Carl Levin, who will soon take over as chairman of the Armed Services Committee, told Gates he has his work cut out for him.
The monumental challenge of picking up the pieces from broken policies and mistaken priorities in the past few years.
The Senate is expected to confirm Gates by week's end. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
The Iraq Study Group issues its report tomorrow. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller is at the White House.
At lunch with former Secretary of State James Baker, President Bush got a preview of the Iraq Study Group recommendation. Spokesman Tony Snow says President Bush will read and study them, but we shouldn't have unrealistic expectations about them.
I think anybody who expects, as Bob Gates said today, a magic bullet out of the Hamilton-Baker Commission is probably placing an unfair burden on them.
All 10 members of the panel are due at the White House at 7 in the morning to formally present their report and ideas for making more rapid progress in Iraq. Mark Noller, CBS News, the White House.
In the mountains of southern Oregon, search teams believe they're on the trail of James Kim.
Searchers have located a pair of pants. These pants match a description given by the family as a pair that Mr. Kim may have been wearing. And the good news is that they were found in the area that we are, in fact, searching and where we believe that he is.
State Police Lieutenant Doug Ladd says Kim had two pairs of pants when he set out Saturday to get help for his stranded family. His wife and children were rescued yesterday in good condition. Kim also had two lighters, so they think he might have been able to start a fire to keep warm. There's a reassuring report about cell phone use. Danish researchers who studied more than 400,000 people found no evidence that mobile phones increase the risk of cancer. Some people in the study had been using cell phones more than 20 years. Advice for people who've had blocked arteries. A new study concludes man cannot live by stents alone. CBS News correspondent Jim Krasula explains.
Researchers, including Duke University's Dr. David Kong, found that heart patients treated with stents who stop taking the expensive drug commonly known as Plavix face more than double the risk of a heart attack than people who stay on the drug.
Patients who have had a drug-eluting stent will need to take Plavix or clopidogrel for at least 12 months as a minimum, and probably longer.
More than 600,000 Americans receive artery stents each year. Jim Fritzula, CBS News.
The Dow up 47 points today. The Nasdaq gained 3. This is CBS News.
Today's guest stylist is Laura. She's going to Kohl's half price sale, which is this Wednesday only. Laura, tell us what to look for.
I'm in love with these furry knits. Check out the sweaters in super flattering colors, then head straight over to hats with matching scarves and mittens. Awesome gift, but you'll want a set too. This is the season to add texture everywhere, even to your sofa. Wait till you feel these super plush throw pillows.
You'll want to go all out at Kohl's half price sale this Wednesday only from 7 a.m. to midnight. Kohl's, expect great things.
Hello, would you like to be more successful with the opposite sex? I'm Ted Baker, and my program can teach you how to attract a mate. Listen to this.
Ted told me about logging on to freecreditreport.com. I learned that my good credit could help me buy a car and a boat, and now chicks dig me.
My patented system could work for you, too. Log on to freecreditreport.com to get your free credit score and report. A nice condo could make you irresistible.
Get your free credit score and report with enrollment in Triple Advantage at freecreditreport.com. Get the score.
Maybe it's true that the cold kills germs. For the fourth year in a row, Minnesota beats all other states in terms of health. But it's not just the weather, as WCCO Radio's Steve Murphy explains.
The United Health Foundation uses 18 measurements, and Dr. Arkel Giorgio says it's a combination of policy and personal health that put Minnesota on top once again.
It's hitting on all cylinders that really makes a population healthy. It's how we behave as individuals, the lower rate of smoking, rates of obesity, how we take care of ourselves as people.
Minnesota is followed by Vermont, New Hampshire, and Hawaii as the healthiest states. The least healthy state on the list, Louisiana. Steve Murphy, CBS News, Minneapolis.
Former Senator John Edwards, the Democratic vice presidential candidate 2 years ago, is widely expected to run for president in 2008. He hasn't declared yet, but Edwards fueled speculation today when he hired former Congressman David Bonnier to run his campaign. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
I am Dr. Jen, and I'm taking your love life calls. And here's Kevin. Go ahead.
Jen, what's the easiest way to get to 79 Williams Ave?
Follow your heart?
For the easiest route to any address, you want to ask TomTom, not JenJen.
Turn left.
TomTom Go is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Grab it and go. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you on your way.
You have reached your destination.
TomTom Go. Find your way the easy way. Learn more at TomTom.com.
I've got a cough that won't quit.
That's why Robitussin DM is my Robitussin.
My chest is all congested, so Robitussin Chest Congestion is my Robitussin.
My call came with a cough, and my head is stuffed up, too. That's why Robitussin CF is my Robitussin.
Robitussin has formulas for coughs, for colds, for congestion, and for flu. So no matter what you've got, there's Robitussin Relief with your name on it. Use as directed.
You've got the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm your humble host, Peter B. This is the part of the show I enjoy the most. It's the free speech zone. We open up the lines, and who knows who will call? Who knows what they will say? Will they surprise us, shock us, or inform us?
Every day is an endless train. You've got to ride it to the end of the line.
My switchboard is wide open for you. And if your name is Bob Gates, we'll put you to the front of the line. I've got some questions that the senators failed to ask you. Our toll-free number, if you don't know it already, is 888-5-PETER-B. That's 1-888-573-8372.
I mean, you keep looking out for number one.
Now, can someone please explain to me why the Democrats just laid down for this Gates nomination? Oh, I think I'm a realist. I expected this nomination to come out of the committee with a majority vote. and go to the floor and achieve confirmation. But I didn't expect the Democrats to roll over and allow it to happen in one day in the committee. And as Robert Perry, I think, pointed out earlier today, by not allowing any contrary testimony, I mean, where was Mel Goodman? Where was Ray McGovern? And the other principled former people, former employees of the CIA, who have gone public with their criticisms, sharp ones, of Robert Gates and his fitness for this new job at the Defense Department. They were not heard from. We didn't even hear comments from people opposed to the Gates nomination entered into the record to be papered over later. And I am very disappointed, because I was hoping to see a new edge from the Democrats. Not sharp elbows aimed at their Republican counterparts, but sharp questions and an edgy presentation of the failings of the Bush administration, and trying to get Gates to acknowledge those failures, because, as they point out to you in Alcoholics Anonymous, unless you have accepted your problem and admitted it, you really can't do much about it. And I fear, and I hope that 60, 90 days or a year from now I'm proven wrong, but I fear the Democrats have set themselves up to be snookered. Because what pressure is there on Bush to adopt any of the findings of the Baker Commission coming out tomorrow? And what obligation does he have to listen to anything Bob Gates has to say that Gates told the Senate in order to get confirmed? And I think we may see very little change in the actual policies and strategies used in Iraq. And we will have gone through this whole process and all of this Sturm und Drang for absolutely nothing. So I'm disappointed, and I particularly want to hear from you if you don't agree with me. If you think the Democrats made the right move today, if you think they, you know, fed out a little line on the fishing hook, and they'll reel it in sometime down the road, if this bipartisanship that they are presenting is a way to later embarrass and perhaps entrap the Republicans. If you have theories like that, I'd like to hear them, because I can't find anything brilliant about the approach the Democrats took to this nomination. And as I said, I had no expectations that Gates would be rebuffed like he was in 1985 or 86. But I did expect the Democrats to make sure that there was a record, that contrary views were heard, and that this was not simply the rubber stamp that it has become. A couple of other items I want to put out there for your conversation, and then we'll go right to your calls at 888-5-PETER-B. A federal advisory panel rejected a recommendation on Monday that states use just voting machines whose results could be independently verified. The panel is drafting guidelines for the U.S. Election Assistance Commission, deadlocked 6-6. On a proposal that would have required electronic machines to produce paper records or other independent means of checking results. They needed 8 votes to pass the resolution. So we're stuck on that one. And this one surprised me. In the New York Times today, an article says that, let me find the right number here. Essentially, most working Americans do not receive sick days. And if you hear my voice, I'm working through a cold right now, and my voice is kind of I don't really need a sick day. But I think that sick leave, paid sick leave, is a basic human right that should be part of our labor package in this country. Now, I've been a longtime member of a union that provides contracts that give us sick leave and other kinds of benefits like that paid by the employer. But I was shocked to learn that less than half of American workers currently have employer-paid sick leave. Got to work on that. And one other item. Stephen Brill is an interesting guy. He had a publication that criticized the media, Brill's. I subscribed to it for a couple of years, and then he shut it down, and he still owes me 24 issues. Brill's content, Brill's comments, something like that. He tried to move it over to the web, and it wasn't really successful. So Stephen Brill has reinvented himself as the visionary who has identified the verified identity pass. And that means for an annual fee of $99.95, passengers on British Airways will be able to bypass the standard security wait at JFK Airport in New York. And it's kind of an easy pass for registered travelers. And I'm really offended by this. Because we already have a class system in the airlines based on how much you decide to pay for a ticket from point A to point B. And now people with a little extra cash can basically fill out a form, subject to an investigation, and bypass security. And I'm one of these people, particularly since the disclosure of the London Bojinka 2 plot, the liquid bomber plot in August. I'm dubious about the benefit of all these security measures at our airports. And sure, it's important to prevent terrorists from getting on airplanes and doing damage, whether it's hijacking or using a plane as a weapon. But come on. We have subjected millions of Americans and others to delays and degradation for the veneer of safety in our airlines. And now, for $100 and a background investigation, you can bypass the security that John Q. Public is subject to. I don't like it. Let me know what you think. 888-5-PETER-B. All the lines are jammed right now. Let's take Ben and Salinas first. Thanks for your call, Ben.
Yes, sir. As if Muhammad Atta's of the future can't afford the extra $100, huh?
Yeah. I mean, and it allows people to game the system. And what we need to do is have realistic security at our airports, not these stupid lines and, you know, rules against hair gel and water bottles.
And they want to bail out the airlines that are doing all these failed policies with more taxpayer dollars? You know what, Peter? The voters just handed the Democrats and the Congress the keys to the castle, the keys to heaven, if we were to see them to save us as we need to be saved. Why do they continue to operate? You're right in your perception. Why are they operating from fear when you're the big dog on the block, when you're the person with all the power, which we just gave our Congress the power to do what they got to do to unveil all this super, super secrecy? I mean...
Well, and Ben, I'm not much of a sports guy, but I'm going to use a sports metaphor here.
Yes, sir.
What I wanted to see the Democrats do was a body check, you know, like in hockey.
Yep.
To come up against Gates and check him and show him that they're not intimidated and that, yes, they're going to let him play the game, but, you know, it's going to be on fair terms.
Yes, they need to stop operating from fear and use some of the power they've been given, because we, the people that voted them in there, you know, the voting public can be very fickle and take that power right back away and give us Jeb Bush and 208, which is the real gambit here. And the reason they're not waiting for the Baker Commission tomorrow to whether or not to confirm Gates is because that Baker Commission, just like the 9/11 Commission, they've already been told where they can look and what to find. That's why Cheney and Bush have not been sworn into testimony to tell what they know. It's both of these commissions, you're given a red can of marbles, a white can of marbles, and a blue can of marbles, and they're only allowed to look in the blue can, you know, because of all this super secrecy crap.
Right, but all options are on the table, Ben. We're just not going to do anything with it.
We're only finding blue marbles. They're looting the damn country. The Democrats have to stop some of this unnecessary secrecy and go where they need to go, or you know what? The voting people are going to get mad at them, and there will be a swing back in 2008. And we're going to, can you imagine 8 more Bush years of the Bush dynasty, Carlyle Group, and all this thievery, the end of Social Security, see your old people in the streets starving to death, no medical, and if they're not able to work, literally starving to death like they did before Social Security? Are we going to stand up and let America become the America that we all love and want to preserve? And thank you, Peter.
Thank you,
I'll
Ben.
I'll go now.
All right. Thank you very much, Ben. That was a graceful exit. We'll continue in just a moment. More of your calls coming up at 888-5-PETER-B. This is the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Aloha, I'm Jay.
And I'm Ginger.
And we would like to invite you to our family restaurant at Pizza Paradise, serving the biggest, best, and boldest pizzas from our Marina location at 215 Reservation Road. It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, the Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's a Pizza Paradise.
That's 582-9149.
Don't your children deserve the very best for the holidays? Locally owned and operated for 36 years, Thinker Toys has been the first holiday shopping stop for generations of parents in Carmel and Monterey, where owner Mark Phillips and his staff take great pride in personally serving every customer. Thinker Toys is dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly. While Thinker Toys specializes in educational toys for newborns through six-year-olds, there's no better place than Thinker Toys to buy great toys for thinking kids of all ages. Make your child's Christmas, Hanukkah, Christmaka, Kwanzaa, or the holiday of your choice extra special with high-quality educational toys and games from Thinker Toys. Open every day at 10 a.m. in Carmel at 7th and San Carlos and in Monterey at the Del Monte Center. Drop by Thinker Toys today and tell Mark that Peter B. sent you. Happy holidays from Thinker Toys.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
The Monterey Peninsula College Holiday Jewelry Sale is here, starting Tuesday, December 5th through the 7th. It's your chance to buy gorgeous, one-of-a-kind silver and metal jewelry pieces, plus fabulous metal art, also handmade ceramics, over 20 of our most talented artists, with affordable, delicious jewelry. This sale is Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, December 5th, 6th, and 7th. Open all day till 7 p.m. at Monterey Peninsula College, 980 Fremont in Monterey. Follow the signs for parking. Don't miss it.
Well, just one thing to tell you about this time around. It's in San Juan Batista, northbound 101 at Rocks Road. There's a stalled vehicle blocking one of the lanes there, so CHP is en route to check out exactly which lane. Check the Santa Cruz Mountains. No new stalls or accidents to tell you about in either direction of Highway 17. There's some construction going on in Monterey. It's Cannery Row between David Avenue and Prescott Avenue. This is actually a new hotel which is being built, and the area is actually closed to through traffic. So this is expect to be completed by the end of the year there. You are going to see some slow traffic southbound and northbound 101 into and out of Salinas. This report is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts. Stop by our local Napa Auto Parts store and find and enter to win a 55 Napa remote control race car. One car will be given away at every participating Napa store. Napa, get the good stuff. I'm Diane with traffic, KRXA 540.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and we continue.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions had an echo in so much space. And when you're out there without care, yeah, I was out of. Does that make me crazy?
I'm your humble host, Peter B. We're taking your calls in the Free Speech Zone, and I've got a couple of lines open if you'd like to comment on the Gates nomination or anything else in the news. 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Got a couple of guys named Alan on the line. Right now, we got Alan in Phoenix. Welcome to the program, sir.
Peter, hi. Thank you. I'd like to be counterpoint to that last caller, though I feel just as strongly as he does mm-hmm. about the things that he was talking about.
Yeah.
But I also put myself in the boots of the guy in Iraq. I mean, it's just got to be horrifying to be there, and I don't feel that we really have the time right now for partisanship, for the hyper-partisanship that I know the Democrats would love to enjoy. Especially when it comes to the Department of Defense, that came down today. I'm sure they all sat down and they figured it out. Decided they weren't going to go after him. pardon me.
Well, Alan, here's my problem. This is not a minor court appointment, ambassador to Latvia, or something like that. This is a critical nomination that reflects the biggest blunders of the Bush administration. And for those blunders to be swept under the conference table in the Senate today is unacceptable to me. Now, I do not encourage rank partisanship or ad hominem attacks. But what I want the Democrats to do is represent me and represent the interests of the American people, including our troops in Iraq, who desperately need a new policy and a direction that is not bankrupt based on lies and based on a far-fetched dream that we're going to foist democracy on a region that has never naturally embraced it.
Well, I just don't think that this day, during this time, especially when the Democrats still do not have the power yet, was the time to have that debate. When I first heard that the confirmation hearing was going to take place this week,
Alan, I got to stop you there. It is already late for that debate.
Oh, no.
The Democrats should have been a much more vocal minority.
Don't misunderstand me. It needs to happen. It desperately needs to happen. But today, arguing the merits of one idea or another about Iraq, or arguing about how we got there, I don't think today was the day to do that.
How can we develop a new policy, an intelligent approach to the quagmire that we've created, if we won't honestly acknowledge how we got there?
First, we have to get in control. Then we can start by finding out how we did get there through the subpoena power. But today,
well, Alan, if you've heard me, it's not an issue that requires control. It requires a backbone.
Well, but keep in mind, too, regarding Gates, I mean, I'm sure you'd like to hear questions about Iran-Contra, but this is not the time to argue that either.
Why? Why? It goes directly to his qualifications and his honesty to the Congress. He sat there today and promised all kinds of cooperation with the Armed Services Committee. Now, should we believe that based on his record of lying to Congress in the past?
As I said,
it's right germane.
Now,
I'm
putting myself in the boots of the guy in Iraq, and we really just need to all. We don't have time to argue.
I don't agree. The guy in the boots in Iraq does not want us to acquiesce to a failed policy and allow it to continue and allow more Americans to die. We're now ready to bail out of Anbar province. And that means that the people who died to take Fallujah the first time and the second time, and I'm not just talking about Americans, I'm talking about thousands of Iraqi civilians, all those lives were lost for nothing, and we're going to give up Anbar and move on, and that's a policy?
What you're saying is, instead of just saying they should have maybe held his feet to the fire a little bit more, what you're saying is you feel like they should have had a probably multiple days long debate about Iraq, and maybe it would have been wonderful and great for that to happen. But first of all, it would have been happening with a Republican chairman of the committee controlling the debate, and it also would have happened at a time when everybody's trying to just get ready for the holidays and just try to get through this next month.
Oh, come on, Alan!
Democrats would be would be the Grinch who stole Christmas, because they're going to...
Oh, come on.
I'm believe me, I am the original. I am so PO'd right now. And
okay, well, stop there before you get me really PO'd, because to claim that, you know, because it's the Christmas season, the Democrats should roll over and play Santa Claus.
No,
I'm sorry,
they'll,
you really got me out.
January.
All right, Alan, thanks a lot. Now we've got the other Alan in Miami. Hello, Alan. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Very good Alan on this one, I tell you. I mean, everything is turned upside down. I can't even believe that these game of charades that they play there in the Congress. These people fight for our votes and claim that now there's a big change, and then they do this to us. It's hard to where to start. I mean, first of all, you have all these pundits and all these elected people. Nobody talking about the damn 14 bases, which is the reason why we're there.
Mm-hmm.
Why isn't that being talked about? That's the only reason we're there, because of the Project for the New American Century. Nobody, it's the 800-pound gorilla that nobody will talk about. They will lie their way into office. It doesn't matter who they are. I mean, I'm not even disappointed anymore. You have to be disappointed. You have to have some level of expectations.
Alan, I know you got more to say, and you took the time to call me from Miami. So hold on. After the break, we'll let you say more, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you. 888-5-PETER-B. It's the Free Speech Zone. And I'm Peter B. Collins. This program produced by Matt Renner in San Francisco. Visit our website, peterbcollins.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
For whatever legal advice you need, go to Lawyers on Duty. Whether it's for your estate planning, divorce, custody, probate, or a living trust, Lawyers on Duty has experienced attorneys with realistic fees. There's no need to go anywhere else. At Lawyers on Duty, they're available, knowledgeable, and affordable. Located in the courtyard behind Rosine's on Alvarado Street, Monterey. Lawyers on Duty open every weekday 9 to 5. Call Lawyers on Duty, 375-5100, 375-5100. Alan Kaplan, owner.
These United States, you have many rights. You have the right to assemble. You have the right to free speech. You have the right to worship as you choose. And when you disagree with Billy Sunshine, you have the right to be wrong.
The Billy Sunshine Show, right here on KRXA 540 AM. Tune in Sundays 3 to 5.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
People are talking about the show. Weekday mornings 9 to 10 on KRXA 540. Does it really suck less?
You guys are in many ways so self-referential that it doesn't let a guy like me feel like he can be part of the conversation.
We try not to be too self-referential, and we'll try to catch ourselves. I appreciate your call.
I wish I knew what that meant.
I wish I knew what that meant. Okay. But you're sucking less than you used to.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. It's 33 minutes past the hour. And after promising to hold Alan from Miami over so he could finish his thoughts, I promptly hung up on him. Ah, but Alan is not easily deterred, and he was smart enough to call back. Thank you, Alan. I'm sorry I hung up on you.
That's okay. It's the first time I'm calling you, and it was worth the extra effort.
Okay, go ahead now. You've regained your composure a little bit. We got a couple of minutes here. Tell me what's on your mind.
Well, let's start here. This is about democracy. It's not about democracy in Iraq. It's about what's happening to democracy here. There's a full-scale assault on democracy here, and you have to be blind not to see it. Obviously, that has not been part of the discourse during the elections or anything, which is work that I have tried to do. I was hoping to help form a progressive coalition down here in Miami and other places so that we understood that the elections were not just about changing seats in the House. It was about understanding what the real threats were and what people have to do. It's only people that are going to save ourselves. The Democratic Party comes along every 2 or 4 years and wants all these people to go line up, knock on doors, and make phone calls and all this stuff, and they never deliver. And so nobody's asking about the assault on our democracy, our privacy, the Constitution. I mean, real crimes have been made. We are losing everything. And as not your previous caller, but the one before said, well, if they don't do what they're supposed to do, I'm going to be upset, and the next time I'll vote for the other side. Well, there's the problem. This whole binary system of the so-called two-party duopoly. So we're going to wait 4 years, and if they screw up or wait 2 years, the only other choice is a Republican for the next 4 or 8 years? So this is ridiculous. What's missing here is the involvement of people and participation in democracy.
And you made a point there, Alan, about the distinction between democracy here and in Iraq. It's not a true democracy there, but I will say they have multiple parties. It's not a two-party system that locks people in and wedges them into one or the other.
Well, let me tell you why I worked so hard in the year 2000 to help get Ralph Nader on the ballot and heard. I wasn't foolish enough to think he would be elected, mm-hmm. but I worked very hard because people who foolishly have been saying for years, oh, it's because of him that Bush is in office, of course, do not understand history or facts. I mean, there are plenty of reasons to see what the collusion of Jeb and Catherine Harris had to do 6 months before the election.
Supreme Court had something to do with it.
And a little bit, yeah. But the fact is, at none of these stages has the Democratic Party fought. They didn't fight about the Supreme Court. They didn't fight about the recount. They didn't fight about the stolen election in 2000 or in 2004. I often have discussions with progressive Democrats, and I say, how long are you going to stay there and get kicked in the teeth and stand up and say you're going to make a change in the party again? I said, show me one iota of evidence that anything progressive has happened in the last 40 years, and I'll be willing to talk with you. But you can't show any. You can't. And the problem is that until we realize that we need new voices in this country, there is no way out.
Mm-hmm.
There is no way out until we start to hear other voices. Ralph maybe didn't have a chance to win, but had he been there during the debates, which both Democrats and Republicans used collusion to stop him from being, mm-hmm. had the things he brought up been brought up, there might not have been an Iraq war. There might have been a different outcome to the election. We would have pointed out corporate connections to decision-making. We would have talked about corporate connections to lack of health care and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a discourse in this country. Our language has literally been stolen and distorted from us. Take the word impeachment, for example.
what did the Republicans do with the concept of impeachment during the last term? They turned it into something ridiculous and frivolous. And now, when people talk about impeachment, Democrats are afraid to go there. When there are real crimes going on, our Constitution is under attack.
Reduction of that is, Clinton lied, semen dried.
Yeah.
Bush lied, soldiers died. I got to run. I thank you for a thoughtful call. Keep listening in Miami and spread the word, will you, about the Peter B. Collins Show?
Sure will.
Thank you. Todd and Marina, thanks for holding. You're next. You're on the air.
Thanks. You know, I think that pay $100, go to the front of the line, that's subverting democracy. And what it does is, unfortunately, the only time American voters seem to get upset is if they're inconvenienced. So you take all the people that could pay the $100, go to the front of the line, and, hey, they're not upset. They look over to the right, and they're watching people take their shoes off, get their shampoo thrown away, all these ridiculous things that do nothing to, for safety.
Right.
But they're not upset about it.
Yeah.
So they just kind of let it go. And I wouldn't be surprised, you know, if the government didn't want things like that to happen, they wouldn't allow people to get the free pass in front of the line. But I think that they're totally happy to let that happen.
Well, and there are a lot of different ways this could be done. They could check every fifth person on a random basis. If you go to Mexico and you enter one of their airports, they put you in a line and there's a traffic signal there. And if it's green, you go through and they don't inspect your luggage. And if it's red, and I believe it's done on a random basis, maybe they look at you before they change the light. But at any rate, you know, the idea that we have to give a procto-level inspection to every person who goes on a flight is just crazy. And, you know, it has been used as part of the fear-mongering to make us all feel afraid at every moment. And the fact is that, you know, only a handful of flights in the history of aviation have been hijacked or, you know, otherwise subverted. And to put everybody into, you know, kindergarten and say that everybody has to do all these things in order to fly, I think it's dehumanizing, and I don't think it enhances our security. And while we've done that, we've hardened our airports, but our nuclear power plants, the Golden Gate Bridge, and so many other icons are simply wide open for anybody who wants to attack them. The real issue is defusing the anger toward the United States, but we're not willing to address that. That would make us self-hating Americans. So what we do is these ridiculous rituals at our airports.
Yeah, and it doesn't make us safer. If I had to be inconvenienced, a week after September 11th, I flew international to China.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't go through any of those crazy take my shoes off, but I didn't feel insecure on the flight. And I didn't think that it was really needed. I think it just, like you said, it makes people afraid. And then what it does is if you question, then it's like somehow you're not American and you don't care about safety.
Mm-hmm.
And I do care about safety, but things are really going to work.
Well, you know, Todd, the real leveler when you fly on a commercial airline is it doesn't matter how much you pay, whether you're in first class and paid oodles of money or, you know, converted your miles for the privilege, or you paid 10 cents to sit in the very last row. When you get to your destination, you all have to stand around and wait in line for your luggage to arrive.
Right.
And nobody's has yet figured out a way that people who pay top dollar can get top service. So that's the leveler. And finally, Todd, the ultimate solution, of course, is Naked Airlines.
I used to fly with my clothes on till the airline clothing banned. We went from scanning to banning. One airline had tanning, and this was the ad they ran. Fly safe, fly naked, no weapons to find. You're safer with nothing on. Naked Airlines.
We continue in the free speech zone here on the PBC show. I've got a line or two open, 888-5. Peter B., if you'd like to join the conversation here. Mike in Phoenix, you're next. Hi.
Yeah, hi, Peter B. You know, several of your previous listeners have questioned, well, you know, why can't they find somebody who's not a criminal for some of these positions?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they really should take heart at that, because there's a relatively small stable of these criminals, people like Robert Gates, Bob Rubin, and you know, Brzezinski, Kissinger. That's why you keep seeing these guys over.
Hey, what
and over
about
again.
What about Poindexter? He's tanned. He's ready. He's pardoned.
Oh yeah, he's back in business with Total Information Awareness.
Right.
They've hired Marcus Wolf, who just died here recently, the former head of Stasi, the East German secret police. Other former KGB agents to develop an internal internal passport to make us safe.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, don't you feel more secure with that?
Oh yeah.
But you know, each president, whether he's Republican or Democrat, is surrounded by Rhodes Scholars, Council on Foreign Relations, stooges, or people like Dick Cheney, who's both Council on Foreign Relations and Trilateral Commission. You know, and that brings me to my plea here. I think the really important issue here is to get Dick Cheney out of the vice presidency. He was just over in Saudi, and I believe he was probably lobbying the Saudis to give the green light to Israel to go ahead and attack Iran. And of course, that'll have the U.S. government's fingerprints all over it. That will launch this clash of civilizations. And the economy here in this country, what's left of it, will tank.
Wouldn't you hope that before somebody launched a clash of civilizations, they'd look at the resources and say, gosh, do we have enough troops to take on all of the Middle East? Do we have the will to conduct that kind of imperialism? And I'm sure for Cheney, those are no-brainers, but these are big, obvious questions. And just putting aside the morality and the advisability of these types of actions, consider the consequences and what it takes to prevail in a situation like that. And we are ill-equipped to do that.
Well, of course, but these people really do not think like rational human beings who had the best interest of their fellow citizens or even, you know, citizens in other parts of the world at heart. These people, many of them, believe it or not, really are Luciferians. You know, they have different gods than most of us do, and they really don't think in the same, you know, linear manner that most of us do. So don't attribute to them normal human emotions.
Mm-hmm.
These people, you know, order the assassination or the deaths of thousands of people with barely a blink of an eye. So, you know, and ultimately these are the people who think that the world needs to be depopulated by about 90%.
And let me add, Richard, these are the people the Democrats are cozying up to with a message of bipartisanship.
Well, this cuts across party lines, I'm sorry to tell you. At, you know, the level of control is at the top. So people who've moved up into the leadership, you can pretty much count on the fact that they've sold their souls already. You know, lobby the people who have the limited or no committee chairmanship. These are the guys who haven't sold out yet, and go after the guys who won by a margin of 51%. You know, who are still barely hanging in there.
Mm-hmm.
These are the people who are susceptible to your lobbying efforts. The guys like John Shattuck here in my district, who's a fast rising star in the GOP pantheon. He's beyond hope.
Yeah. All right, Richard. Anything else you want to add?
It's Mike. But
I'm sorry, Mike. I'm reading the wrong screen here.
Yeah,
sorry about that. Richard's next.
Please call because this attack on Iran is liable to take place before Christmas, and that's not going to make for a good holiday here at home.
Yeah. I thank you for a thoughtful call today.
Thanks.
And your name's Mike. Thank you, Mike. Got it right in the end there. 888-5-PETER-B, and I pose a question to you. Are you willing to support Hillary Rodham Clinton for president in 2008? She announced today her intention to run. Not much of a secret. Not much of a surprise. But I'd like to know if there are listeners to the Peter B. Collins Show who support Hillary Rodham Clinton. I have a lot of reasons that would preclude me from supporting her or voting for her, unless we get into really dire circumstances. So I'd like to know your thoughts about that. Hillary in 08? Not for me, please. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. This is the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
The holiday season is here again, and what perfect time to take advantage of the great selection and low prices of the finest used cars in the county. At ZNS Auto Dealership in Monterey, they have been partners for over 30 years. Located at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard, ZNS wants to be your partner in choosing that right car for you or your loved one. ZNS has it, whether it's a truck, SUV, minivan, compact, or luxury automobile. Open every day on Del Monte Boulevard, Monterey. ZNS Auto, where partnership works.
Politicians may come and go, but for the past 33 years, Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey. Technically proficient, Dr. Turner specializes in listening to every patient's concerns and feelings. And because Dr. Turner cares about you, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112, 831-375-1112, 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner, 375-1112. He listens, he cares.
So it means that our investigation turned up nothing.
Because somebody testified lying before a grand jury doesn't mean he's involved.
And it's flat out absurd. Bush was begging that governor on the Sunday before the hurricane hit to get people out of there and declare an emergency.
It's all crazy propaganda. The Joseph Goebbels Network.
Bush was on the phone with her. They were thinking about sending the military in because the state and local people weren't acting fast enough.
It is certain that some self-possessed judge somewhere will soon rule that three men or three women can live.
Yet Iraqis are united in a broad and deep conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis. I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you've retired, you don't have anything to worry about. Probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. Got to catapult the propaganda.
Just one accident to tell you about this final traffic report. It's in Castroville, Espinosa Road at Castroville Boulevard. This is a possible head-on collision, so CHP is en route to check out if it is actually a head-on collision and if it's blocking any lanes there. So again, it's Castroville, Espinosa Road at Castroville Boulevard. Santa Cruz Mountains, no stalls or accidents to report either direction of Highway 17. You're going to see some slow traffic southbound Highway 1, so is between Monterey and Carmel. Also a little bit of sluggish traffic eastbound 25 out of Gilroy and into Hollister. Eastbound 129 is sluggish between Watsonville and Aromas. This report is brought to you by Preparation H. Carry Preparation H portable wipes, convenient little packets that hold very big wipes to cleanse, cool, and soothe even when you're not at home. Preparation H portable wipes, big relief to go. I'm Dying with Traffic, KRXA 540.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls into the home stretch here. 888-5 Peter B, or you can email me, Peter at PeterBCollins.com. Kim Wilson and the fabulous T-Birds there. And Richard in Phoenix, thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Yeah, I already checked off a big minus sign in Hillary's corner on my ballot sheet.
Okay. tell me the three big reasons why you feel that way.
Well, first of all, I didn't like the idea when I was over in Vietnam. Well, she had nothing to do with that. But when she and Willie had the helm, they had liked to put the military in positions in serving food and dinners and officers and all that, which they squashed later on. Thank God.
Well, frankly, that's a pretty trivial reason, Richard.
No, it's a big reason. When I spent 30 years of my life fighting for this country in Vietnam in the Marine Corps, and they put my fellow servicemen in positions like that, totally unsat.
All right, but
With Gates, that was a joke today with Gates. He told them, and that they didn't. None of them had the balls to speak up. All they did was pat each other on the back. Gates told them exactly what they wanted to hear. And when they asked him a question, he said, well, Senator, I didn't know. I don't have that answer right now, but I'll look it up and all that. Nothing. He was negative. Why didn't they bring up somebody and put in that position who was at least in the military, like McCain, who has the experience and has the grapes to speak up?
Gates did serve in the Strategic Air Command in the 1960s, so he's not a chicken hawk.
Well, I'm not saying he is a chicken hawk, but he sure didn't come across to me as a good leader.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he'll convince me. Time will tell.
All right.
In the next 2 years, if he lasts that long.
Great. Richard, thanks for calling. Good to hear from you today. And now to Paul and Marina. Welcome, Paul. You're on the air.
Hello, Peter.
Howdy.
No vote for Hillary.
Okay, I'm with you there.
That was the question. And, that's not why I called, but...
Well, tell me why you called.
There are good reasons. Now, the reason why I called, and I called yesterday, and I just missed getting on. I trigger came and got you before I got on the radio.
Yeah.
But, I listen to AM radio here and have for a long time, and
mm-hmm.
listen to KRXA mostly, and now that they're on the air. And
great,
for a long time, I've listened to the other AM stations around here, and for mm-hmm. the last 6 years, one of them had the Sean Hannity program.
Uh-huh.
And... you know, the longest time, and it just, and I have listened to Sean Hattie because it just like, you know, so others don't have to type of way.
Well, and isn't it nice on his radio show that he doesn't have to put up with Alan Colmes, who just ruins the TV show?
Right, right. No, he can just raise his banners and have the parade march right behind him, and
mm-hmm.
everything goes his way, and it has for a long time. But yesterday, when the Sean Hannity program was to start, there was some dead air,
mm-hmm.
and then the station manager came on and said, we do not have the Sean Hannity program today. The people that gave it to us have taken it away and said there will be no more Sean Hannity, and they also said that there's no place for you to look for Sean Hannity. So no more Sean Hannity, and they gave a new person, some other host the program,
mm-hmm.
and he went on throughout the day, and every half hour, every 15 minutes, they came on with that same blurb about no more Sean Hannity, and it was just they were persistent, just saying, you know, you're not going to hear Sean Hannity anymore. And
well,
and
at the end of the day,
I was thinking about it, you know, and since...
Paul, I don't want to burst your bubble,
right?
But they simply lost the franchise, and he's moving to a different station that will cover the same area.
No, no.
I'm sorry to tell you that.
I thought the Republicans were finally starting to trim some fat.
No, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry to tell you that.
I know.
Thought that he was going to have to, like, just finally get himself a Japanese automobile.
All right, Paul.
He couldn't afford those other ones anymore. Well, okay, you burst my bubble.
I'm sorry.
Doggone it. I was hoping they were going to let the air out of his life raft.
You really got it in for Slanthead, don't you?
Well, hey, you know.
All right, I got to run. I want to squeeze in two more calls. Thank you, Paul. Michelle in San Antonio, thanks for listening and thanks for calling.
Hi, Peter. Thanks for holding down the fort in San Francisco. That's actually home.
Oh, good.
I'm calling about Hillary.
Yeah?
So,
you pro or on the fence or anti?
I don't care for her. I don't mind that she's the senator from New York,
mm-hmm.
and I'd like her to stay in that position, but I wish she wouldn't run. I think she's going to end up not running, ultimately. I think she's going to drop out.
Really?
That's what I think.
Unfortunately, I don't see that scenario.
I think it's too hot in that kitchen for her. I really do, and I think she's going to end up dropping out. But if, in fact, she does run, if she becomes a nominee, if she comes up, yes, I'll vote for her.
Well, that's why I left a little wiggle room there. Because if it were Hillary versus McCain, Hillary versus Senator Brownback, virtually any of the Republican candidates, including Rudy Giuliani, I would hold my nose and vote for her. But I want to see the Democratic Party get beyond dynasty politics, you know, to suggest that the Clinton family is the only place where we can find presidential timber. Sorry, I don't buy that. Secondly, I don't want to relive the investigations of the 90s. Many of those were unfair, but the Clintons often served up just enough, like Travelgate or, you know, the shreds of Whitewater, the Hillary investment scheme. Those things were just shady enough to propel opponents through eight entire years. And I don't want to go back to that. And finally, she failed us on the war in Iraq. And she has a muddled position. She still hasn't figured it out. And I'm sorry, I am not prepared to support a Democrat for president who has tried to straddle on the war in Iraq and actually voted for it. So thanks for your call from Texas today.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Real quick.
Okay. I absolutely understand everything you just said, but mm-hmm. who would you vote for? If she was the nominee, who would you vote for? I mean, I could not see myself voting for another
right.
Republican. I can't.
If she had a wide margin, I'd vote for a third-party candidate, and if she didn't, I would suck it up and vote for her. Thank you very much, Michelle. Randy in Crescent City, you get the final word before Trigger arrives.
Well, thank you, Peter B. Three reasons on a no vote for Hillary. I don't believe she's showed much creativity. I do not believe she's a natural leader, and I feel she's wounded from her time in the presidency with Bill.
Mm-hmm. You did that really well in 15 seconds. Congratulations, Randy.
All right.
I'll talk to you again.
Okay, thanks, Peter.
Thanks for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm going to ride off into the sunset, have a little scotch on my throat, and we'll be back at you tomorrow. Same time, same stations. I hope you'll join me.
Vote means that our investigation turned up nothing.
Because somebody testifies by him before a grand jury doesn't mean he's involved.
It is flat out absurd. Bush was begging that governor on the Sunday before the hurricane hit to get people out of there and declare an emergency.
It's all crazy propaganda. The Joseph Goebbels Network.
Bush was on the phone with her. They were thinking about sending the military in because the state and local people weren't acting fast enough.
It is certain that some self-possessed judge somewhere will soon rule that three men are three women can rule.
Yet Iraqis are united in a broad and deep conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis.
I don't think that's too high a standard. If you've retired, you don't have anything to worry about. Probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. Got to catapult the propaganda.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Short and sweet, Robert Gates' one-day confirmation hearing ended with a unanimous endorsement by the Senate Armed Services Committee. His nomination to be Secretary of Defense now goes to the full Senate, where confirmation is assured.
This has been an absolute love fest between Gates and the committee because he has the one essential characteristic. He's not Don Rumsfeld.
Daniel Gouray of the Lexington Institute is a former Pentagon official. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss covered the hearing.
Gates, who is being brought to the Pentagon precisely because things have gone so badly in Iraq, was blunt in his assessment before the committee, saying the U.S. is not winning and lots of mistakes were made in the planning and execution of the war. He said all options for a change in strategy are on the table, though said he was inclined against setting a firm and public deadline for pulling U.S. troops out of the country.
The Iraq Study Group's much-anticipated recommendation come out tomorrow. In Josephine County, Oregon, a tantalizing clue to the whereabouts of James Kim.
This is frustrating. I mean, we are so close.
Undersheriff Brian Anderson says they found a pair of pants believed to belong to the missing San Francisco man.
It could be he was leaving markers that people were searching for him, something to follow. The way we're treating it is it gives us an indication we are in the right area, we are searching the right area to find him.
Kim's family says he had two pair of pants when he set off Saturday to get help for his stranded family. Trans fats are coming off the menu at New York City restaurants. Today, the Board of Health unanimously approved a ban on all trans fats in restaurant cooking. That could mean difficult changes, but Dr. Peter Sheehan, who heads the Diabetes Center of Greater New York, says some fast food places are ahead of the curve.
Kentucky Fried Chicken
saw the opportunity to take the lead here, and they have banned trans fats nationally in all their restaurants.
But the big problem isn't in the fryer, says Mark Erickson of the Culinary Institute of America.
The vast majority of trans fats that are in our American diet today aren't coming from the fryolator. They're coming from baked goods. So things like cookies and pies and cakes and those kinds of things.
Restaurants have until July of 2008 to solve that problem. Trans fats have to be eliminated from frying oil by next July. The countdown is underway for the launch of Space Shuttle Discovery on Thursday evening. CBS News correspondent Peter King.